Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Cam Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. The flame is powerful. This is a no-win situation. I don't give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it's time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are here this morning, 8:30 California time. I see one of the morning crew here. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Pat Oberlin. I'm hearing a lot of static on my end. I don't know if we're going to do a show. The static is still going on. I don't know if I'm broadcasting. I'm hearing static, and you can hear me. But Blog Talk is acting up. Hopefully, it's okay. Let's let Pat in. She's raising her hand. Good morning, beautiful Pat. How are you? Lovely.
I'm fine. I was going to say I can hear you fine. No problem.
Did you just say that you're hot and you're tired?
Yeah, but it was accidental.
Wow.
So, yeah. Anyhow.
Wow.
Well, stumbling on my words today.
Don't worry about it. You're fine. I mean, if you talked anything different, I swear it'd be a different person. You're absolutely fine. It'll be a short show today, I promise you. It'll be a really short show. I just want to thank you for showing up. Tell John I said hello and thank him for waking you up, if he did wake you up. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay.
Today.
I'll tell him.
Well, it's you know, today, if we get to it, Pat, because you're here, and last time was funny because we said hello to Laverne, and she texted me, hello, Pat and Brian, and I didn't get to text her after the show, so I'm going to say it early. Good morning, Laverne. I didn't get the text till later. I just want to make sure I got it today. Good morning. 111 is in a studio. 111, you're in a studio. Good morning. You don't have to talk. If you want to talk, you can press 1. Okay, I'll just open your mic for 2 seconds. Nope, you don't want to talk? All right. 111 knows what to do. When they're ready to talk, they'll just hit 1. Just hit 1 on your dial, and I'll see your little hand raise.
Hey,
in there, Pat. No, I don't think so. I think it's Mr. Solution, to tell you the truth. He loves me.
Oh, my.
I'm his forbidden love. I feel like, you know, I feel like he wants to put me on a boat and he holds me by the waist and I'm looking at the over the ocean, you know what I mean? Just like the Titanic. I picture us doing that. He's holding me by the waist. Oh, forbidden love. Today we're going to talk about the 14th Amendment, Section 3. We're going to talk about it briefly. I know Sarge will be in and give me a berated me or whatever, but let's see if we can do this before the Trumpers come in and kind of do a coup of the studio, hold it together. 14th Amendment, Section 3. Disqualifications. Bottom line, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment prohibits anyone who has previously taken an oath of office from holding public office if they were engaged in insurrection or rebellion. Dun, 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 dun. You guys remember that? Remember that? No? No? No?
Are they rebels?
I know. It's a rebellion. Dun, 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 dun. No? Really? Really? Okay, God. Wow. It's Star Wars. Every time Vader comes in the room, don't. They had to have that for Trump. Every time he comes on stage, don't, 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 don't.
That was 40 years ago, Brian.
I was told that was a movie. I was too small to know about it. It's reruns. I know. It's reruns. No, I was first in line. Oh, my God. 40 years ago? Seriously? Wow.
Yeah, I went to see it before I was pregnant. So, yeah.
Wow.
32 as of yesterday.
Wow. Wow. There you go. There's Donald Trump getting ready to speak at the primary. We should walk down to the Capitol and protest the election. We would do it peacefully. Get your lightsabers. Men, follow me. Come on, man. Let's go peacefully. Yeah, that's what happened. Darth Trump. Darth Trump came on. Yeah. Then he went to the White House, and there, then it started. Oh no, lightsabers. Let's go to POC's office. Destroy. Let's go to the poor Congress. Destroy for our Darth Trump. He's gonna be so proud of us. Darth Trump. Please, Master, we have done good. And that's how the United States fell. 3 minutes. I'm telling the kids, there used to be a country called the United States of America, but in 3 minutes they can tell you how it fell. That's it. So anyway, sometimes I just humor myself. So that's what it is. Who has previously taken an oath? Amendment prohibits anyone who has previously taken an oath of office from holding public office if they have engaged in insurrection and erection. Oh, that's Bill Clinton. I love the boob. Sorry, Bill Clinton. Hillary, I love the boob. Hillary. Insurrection and erections. That will not be permitted in the office of the presidency. And then we're going to talk about Hunter Biden. He's been indicted. Oh, boy. And all this is going to be very brief. And this guy is something I really want to talk about, ghosts and goblins. But we will go through this charade. I love the boobie. Shut up, Bill. And Bill, that Bill just loved to play that saxophone. Look at him. Look at him go. You go, cat, go. Go, cat, go. That's Bill. I hereby declare myself president. Oh, I love the boobies. Where's the boobies? That's Bill Clinton, everybody. Yeah. What a hard group. And Donald Trump. Erections and insurrections. That's what our country is about. Insurrections and erections. We will make America great again. We are MAGA. We will tear down democracy. We will destroy the republic. I'm the only one that can fix things. I am the king. I don't care about the Constitution. I will burn the motherfucker down. Burn, baby, burn. Let's bring in my Ewoks. Yeah, there you go. And my cabinet. Yes. That'll save the speed for him and his library. And that's what we're going to do. And the second part is Halloween is coming. We're going to talk about ghost stories, real ghost stories, real haunted houses. And I think I misspelled Halloween, and I misspelled amendment. Who the fuck cares? I went to Halloween. Halloween. That's how it sounds. I don't realize how I typed it until I read it. We're going to talk about Halloween. This is what happens when you go to Pat Oberland's bakery and gifts. I had a patty cake about 4 months ago, and I'm still going, Halloween. Wow. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But Patty, how are you feeling? It's been how long, 3 or 4 days since you had surgery, kiddo?
It was the 7th, so it's been about a week.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been about a week. So, yeah, my guts are still in.
I'm glad. You know what? I mean,
yeah.
It's just not you without your guts.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
It's not you without your guts. It's,
I've got all Band-Aids on my tummy.
Do you really?
Yeah,
that's so cute. And you're gonna get, and you got rid of it. You know, you maybe have a little discomfort for another week. How long did they take? Did they say for you to heal? They said for me, 4 to 6 weeks. How about you?
They didn't tell me anything.
Wow.
I was more or less just not told anything, and then I finally got a letter from the doctor yesterday for a follow-up. As far as I knew, there was no follow-up. I was starting to get a bit concerned.
That's interesting. Did you have a private room, at least?
Oh, no, no.
What?
My roommate was a very old Italian man. it was ringing the buzzer constantly.
Oh,
and the nurses are, what do you want now, Italio? Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, so how did it, so you had a curtain separate yourself? Was there a partition that separated
your
bit?
Yeah, there was
a
curtain.
Well, what
about
the TV?
He was good. Oh,
was he good?
He had a TV.
Okay, wait a minute. Was there a TV? Was it? Hold on, somebody. Wait, don't leave. 111. You're live on the air with Brian and celebrity guest Pat Oberland in Pat's Bakery. Today you get a free patty cake. 111.
Well, I'm just here to warn you. You don't start no shit. Won't be none.
Good morning to you. Good morning.
Yeah.
I'm
going to keep your ass honest, man.
All right. You know what, Sarge? You've been getting angry lately. This is not the lovable Sarge. I open up a mic. I'm going to keep your ass. It's like you're all thugged out. You're like you came out of jail. I'm going to keep your eyes on us. That's right. I'll ship you in a minute. I'm going to get a knife, and I got it from the cafeteria. Well, is it me? Can you hear me okay, or do I sound underwater? Because am I okay?
You sound,
I sound okay?
Fine.
Oh, okay.
You sound the way you normally do.
I got a
Could
little
you,
bit of
incoherent, incorrect. All is,
and this
all
is the
is,
guy who, this is, when did you turn against me? Remember how nice you used to be? Remember that? And now all of a sudden, Darth Sarge comes into the studio. Darth Sarge.
I think now you said that I've always been nice.
Yes.
I'm going to add delusional to that list, too.
See, Pat, didn't you used to think he was a nice guy? Didn't you used to think he was a nice guy?
Did I?
The real star. The real star came out. Hey, let me keep you honest on UIS. You want that cupcake? You're in the cell now. You're going to work for that cupcake. You want that cigarette?
Boy.
You're going to have to give up that ass. A butt for a butt.
Uh-oh. Man, I'm going to have to pull the E.G. and Carol on you to keep this up.
Well, we're going to get into this.
That's all it takes, right? A Billy Bush tape and E.G. and Carol craving it. And, man, you got a suit that a Manhattan grand jury is ready to take you up on. That's all it takes, man. Don't take much. Be careful.
It doesn't take much. I'll tell you what, those rumors will just make my show grow more popular. Oh, you did that? I missed that. See, you keep the bar low, and they don't expect much of you. That's what you do. You keep the bar very low. Wow, okay. Let's do it. Today's topic, the 14th Amendment, Section 3, disqualification. And that's what it reads. Here we go. Let's get right to it. There's another 111 in there. I got a feeling it's Mr. Solution. If you want to raise your hand, come on in the conversation here, and let's get to it. First, let's explain what it is. Let's explain what the 14th Amendment is, Section 3. All right. The 14th Amendment, Section 3. By the way, I misspelled amendment. Again, the show is sponsored by Pat Oberlin's Bakery, Patty Cakes, and Brownies and Things. So I must have ate a couple of those brownies, and I, woo!
Yeah, Patty's Cakes, eh? You like Patty's Cakes, huh?
That's it, Patty Cakes. Woo!
Yes, sir. I like them too, baby. I'm taking it. Whenever I get old.
There you go. We got a customer. We got a customer. Time we're done. Patty Cakes is going to be international. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. It prohibits anyone who has previously taken an oath of office from holding public office if they have engaged in insurrection. Now, like I said in the opening, insurrection and erections. You got Clinton, I love the boobie. And you got insurrection with Donald Trump. So insurrections and erections, everybody. Yay, God bless America. So holding public office if they have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the United States of America. This applies to anyone who has taken an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and thereafter either one, engages in insurrection or rebellion against the United States, or two, give aid or comfort to the enemies of the United States. Congress can remove you. Congress can remove the disqualification by a two-thirds vote. What does that mean? Well, it's not as easy as you think. It's not as plain and simple as you think. Getting a two-third vote in Congress, my God, is almost, you have a better chance of getting the lottery, especially the way the temperature is today. You would need two-thirds votes. You would need two-thirds votes of the Congress for them to remove the president of the, or the primary candidate for president of the United States. Now, Colorado has already tried this, and they have sued to remove Donald Trump's name from the ballot box. They have. So people are looking at that. They're not gonna step on yet. They're not gonna go, well, let's not jump into that pool until we find out how that's going. But that's it. At this point, what I'm gonna do, and Sarge, because I'm gonna get more details, because I do want to have you comment at this point regarding the amendment. And this is our 14th Amendment. This is our Constitution. This is the amendment of the Constitution.
I take this subject very seriously.
Okay. This is the amendment of the Constitution. You know what amendment of the Constitution is. So, Sarge, I'm going to let you briefly talk about how you feel about this and as a patriot. And you have a couple of minutes because I want to look something up. There you go, Sarge, and here's Sarge right now.
Well, the 14th Amendment, this requisite session that we are speaking to, Section 3, is not a qualifier. It is obviously a disqualifier. Now, I'm not sure if you meant to say what you just said, but it sounded to me as though you said a two-thirds vote will keep you off the ballot, removes the disability once you have been convicted or have been determined to have engaged in an insurrection or rebellion. It removes the disability, so now you are eligible to hold the office if two-thirds votes of each House of Congress decide to remove it against you. Okay? That's what two-thirds vote means, not that it keeps you off the ballot. It removes your disability and reinstates your eligibility to hold federal office. Now, when this thing was first passed, remember the overarching purpose of the 14th Amendment was to state citizenship derivative rather than primary, because before, the way you were a citizen of the United States was to be, first of all, accepted as a citizen in one of the states. The 14th Amendment was concerned with newly freed slaves, whom many of the Confederate states were not allowed to become citizens, so they made United States citizenship primary by the virtue of being born in the United States if you are lawfully resident there, and made the state citizenship derivative. So they reversed the order of things because of the Dred Scott decision of 1857. There are five sections to it. Probably the most important are about the debt incurred because of the Civil War. The debt of the United States shall not be questioned. Validity shall not be questioned, and you can't pay monies for debts that you incur as a result of an insurrection rebellion, and no slave, you cannot receive any monies for the loss or for the loss of a slave. Any money that you would lose by losing a slave, you can't get any money as a result of it, certainly not from the federal government anyway. But Section 3 was the most controversial of the sections of the 14th Amendment, and this is the reason why it was controversial, because it appeared to be vindictive at the time. I'm talking about the debates that occurred at the time. Now, none of them are up today with some of our silly notions, but the debate of the people involved who actually fought in the Civil War against each other and killed each other. And even they thought this amendment might be vindictive, and it might intrude on the president's pardon power. Now, it made the ratification of new state constitutions in the South less likely, and some congressmen thought it was a deliberate stratagem to keep the southern states out of the Union until after the 1868 election. Now, an original draft of this section would have disqualified all those who had voluntarily aided the Confederacy until 1870. But the Senate decided that a little bit too harsh, so they went after the author of the 14th Amendment, or one of the authors, one of the co-authors, a man named Senator Jacob Howard, and he came up with a less severe but ultimately more permanent version, which is why we're looking at it the way we're looking at it today. Congress lifted the disqualification of many individuals in 1872, and they did it for all but members of the 37th and 38th United States Congresses, those who left the House of Representatives and Senate and went to form part of the Confederacy, and all the judicial military officers, heads of departments, and foreign ministers. I'm talking about who went to the Confederacy and formed part of the government. They didn't lift the disability for them. So in 1898, though, Congress removed all, count them, all disqualifications for previous disloyal conduct. Even though it was written in the context of the Confederacy, the new, more permanent version does say for insurrection or rebellion, which means it could be applied to anyone living today. Even though, as many people point out, it was intended for use against Confederate rebels, but the way it is written, it certainly could apply to someone who engaged in insurrectionist or rebellious conduct today. Now, this brings us to Donald Trump. I would like to point out to all the dog-like memory people out there, or at least the leftists, progressives, and Democrats who think we're dogs and have no memory, I'd like to remind them, because of their reckless hatred and Trump derangement syndrome, they have already tried Donald Trump for incitement to riot. That was the reason for the second bogus impeachment after he left the presidency. Remember, they impeached him. He was acquitted in the Senate. So we had, even though it was a civil adjudication, which an impeachment is, it's not criminal, it is civil. Nonetheless, Donald Trump was acquitted of incitement to insurrection in the bogus second impeachment. But see, these people think we're dogs, and we don't remember anything, and we don't know anything, and they treat us like this as though we'll roll over and play dead. And finally, my question to all of you out there, dear listeners, by what formal mechanism, and I don't mean the declaration of Trump deranged syndrome, lunatic hating Democrats who simply decree and pronounce Donald Trump guilty of an insurrection. That won't do for me or anybody who's halfway reasonable, or establishment rhinos who despise him and want to get rid of MAGA because they don't like us either. By what formal mechanism is it to be determined that Donald Trump committed insurrection or rebellion? Again, a decree from Trump-hating demon rats will not do. I want something a bit more formal. Some other form of adjudication, perhaps, maybe, an impeachment where he was acquitted after he left the White House. Please spare me this. But I'm willing to entertain all the absurd arguments saying that Donald Trump, the man who offered to Nancy Pelosi and Muriel Bowser the use of 10,000 federal troops, free of charge to them, just on the rest of the taxpayers, 10,000 federal troops in response to the intelligence information they've been getting, that a ruckus that would be beyond the capability of the Capitol Police and maybe the Washington, D.C. police to handle. He's going to offer them troops because the intelligence indicated this, that the Capitol Chief Police said, yes, we had this intelligence too. It was being shopped around through all of the agencies up there. And despite that, these people refused that offer, and Donald Trump somehow knew they would be stupid enough to refuse his offer of 10,000 troops, which, by the way, would have completely prevented the ruckus that ensued. Of course, you know, that's the way Democrats think, because they were the ones actually engineered the riot, because they wanted to forestall the objections to the electoral count that had been announced by the 147 members of the House of Representatives and the Senate, announced before January 6th, and they wanted to ensure that there would not be an electoral count objection formally registered in the form of a vote on the floor of the House of Representatives and the Senate. I am now convinced either they engineered it or someone did it on their behalf or at their behest. No other explanation makes sense. is circumstantial. I agree. My belief here is circumstantial. I have no direct evidence of it, but nothing else makes sense.
Thank you, Sarge.
More than just Trump derangement syndrome.
You know, thank you, Sarge. We had a little difficulty, technical difficulty. Ready when you are to start this. Go. I'm only kidding. We heard you.
Yeah. I'm just saying, man. I mean, we're going more and more down a rabbit hole of Alice in Wonderland and insanity every day in this country.
It will pass. It governs us.
I mean, they are just the god-awful worst.
It will pass. It will pass. It will pass.
Yes, that's you. Why do I keep seeing Lushan Grisham's every day? Where do we get this Lushan Grisham from? He's the dictator they accused Donald Trump of being. They project onto him what they actually are. Mandates again, perhaps? Mask mandates, vaccine mandates.
I know.
Medical fascism, transgenderism,
right.
Fascism.
Right.
Oh, but
right.
Donald Trump's a dictator. I see dictators all around me, chopping off dictators.
Apparently America has spoken. They like strong men and strong. Isn't it funny? Because Hillary Clinton was a strong woman. But we cannot have a strong woman, but we can have a strong man, because if you had a strong woman, she's a bitch, and you want to get rid of her.
She's a fascist. I don't put Kristi Noem as a strong woman. I don't say that about her. Sarah Jane Huckabee is a strong woman.
I will give you rice. I would give you rice.
Look, you don't like the people I just mentioned.
I don't
call them bitches, and they're strong women. They're determined. They have principles and integrity.
Hillary Clinton is a power mad manipulator. Half the time she was up there and she was exaggerating bullshit about she has integrity. No, I am not going to let you get away with Huckabee.
Have you
with
seen
integrity.
Karine Jean-Pierre?
I like her.
I'm sure you do. She is a bigger liar than Jen Psaki. I didn't think it was possible to be a bigger liar than Jen Psaki.
I kind of like her too. Here we go.
Why am I not surprised?
Because I have good taste. I want to thank Sarge for explaining the 14th Amendment, Section 3. He went into history only he could, and I knew that he could. And I'm hoping he was unbiased. He got a little bit into the weeds towards the end. I mean, protecting this guy. But basically, he explained what's going on. So here's what happened. So we go from there to, and Sarge is right in a way, what in the hell is happening to our country? So we go from there to Colorado. That's what we do. And you wonder what's going on with Colorado. Here we go. Headline, Colorado lawsuits becomes the latest to challenge Trump 2024 candidacy under the 14th Amendment. They're challenging it.
How is it determined that he has committed an insurrection that should disqualify him from the ballot? Somebody just
remember what the 14th Amendment says. It says encouraging it or supporting it can be the same thing.
How did we determine it? Somebody just says so? It's not like, are you 35 years of age when you take the oath of office? That is an objective measurement. It's not like, you know, being a natural-born citizen, being born of two citizen parents and born on the soil of the United States, unlike Kamala Harris, unlike Barack Obama, unlike Nikki Haley, unlike Vivek Ramaswamy. Those are objective measurements. How do you determine a disqualifier, like whether or not you've been in this race? Somebody just said so?
No, because, no, we're not doing it because somebody said so. We're actually, this is unprecedented.
Well, I want to know what the mechanism is, though, Brian. See, this is a critical question.
Well, we will find out.
I'm not getting an answer.
Well, okay. I can only answer this way. In California, you can do a lawsuit. If somebody looks at you crazy, you can get a lawsuit. This is a lawsuit.
So you're talking about something formal. At least a lawsuit is a judicial proceeding. So we get
a
lawsuit.
Is
that it?
Well, anybody can do a lawsuit. We have frivolous lawsuits constantly in the courts, and you know this, Arch. You know this as a former police officer.
So now we're going to say that a civil proceeding like a lawsuit would not be on a reasonable doubt, but simply preponderance of the evidence is sufficient to keep a candidate that is desired by, I don't know, almost half of the political electorate out there off of the ballot in a state.
Well, it's not that. If you have the interpretation, there are some people who believe that Trump did lead an insurrection. You have some people who think that the world is flat. You have some
people out there who believe in Bigfoot. So what?
Right. Exactly.
I want to know what the basis of the belief
is.
Instead of saying, I got this belief.
Right. But if you're saying those people who believe in Bigfoot, if they find his owner, they can sue his ass for dumping his Bigfoot shit on their lawn. I mean,
wake me up when they do.
You probably will get it next week. And that Bigfoot, he messed up my steer.
Cows
won't get
maybe
built.
It'd be like the Russia collusion thing, you know, when they got their 4 or 5 warrants based on a Russia collusion. They had a, you know, after he got cleared by the Durham investigation.
But he
all
had
the
to go
other
through
things,
the investigation.
You know, I mean, everything was made up. It was all a hoax. It was a lie. You had the Justice Department shopping a lie.
They,
we know from the internal memos they were lying to us about Donald Trump.
They lost. They brought that investigation to the American people, and they opened up the investigation
they
for the American
lied
people to see for themselves, and that's what. Well, this is what we do in America. We open it up to see for yourself that if there's a crime here.
When we find out the truth, we say, oops, we made a mistake.
Okay, well,
these Democrats
don't
do that. They double down because they're tyrants.
Well, they're not
they
really
get worse.
Tyrants, but no, and
we now know that Donald Trump had every probable cause in the world to investigate Joe Biden for violation of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, every probable cause in the world, and they impeached him for it.
We're getting there. But
this is what I mean. I mean, we just ignore facts and history. I don't care. He's a threat to democracy.
We're not ignoring. We're not.
Donald Trump's a threat to democracy. That's all I hear.
We're not ignoring anything.
We don't want to hear it. Democracy, hell on fire, running circles, scream and shout.
Okay, Bart. You know what? I'm going to give you a slice of patty cake. That'll fix you up.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Patty cake, the prices are higher than the cook or than the baker. It's a lawsuit, folks, and anyone – if you live in the United States, if you have probable cause, or sometimes you don't even have cause at all, you can. And if a lawyer with you, create a lawsuit.
I remember that my side was trying its damnedest to get in the court the issue of whether or not Barack Hussein Obama qualified as an Article II, Section 1, Clause 5, natural born citizen. With regard to the framers of that article had in mind whether or not he met that criteria, we couldn't get it heard on the merits anywhere, even though we had solid evidence on our side, historical antecedents and precedents. We had a counterfeit birth certificate, and we still couldn't get it in a court to be heard on the merits.
The man, counterfeit birth certificate.
I mean, and not in any jurisdiction, nobody would say you have standing to have this. Remember, they didn't say you got no case on the merits. They said you don't have standing to bring the objection. even if you've been on the ballot against Barack Hussein Obama, because the fix was in.
No, how can it be a fix? And it was, he won the electoral votes and he won the popular votes.
You didn't hear what I just said. It was about eligibility, just like Donald Trump.
No,
the issue with Donald Trump
Barack
is
Obama
eligibility.
Did not go to New Mexico and say, "Hey, can you find me some votes, fellas? I see bank. I couldn't place it. It was in my pocket. I had it a minute ago. It was with my wallet. Can you guys? All
again,
we need is, all we need is so many votes to overturn this. Then
you
go,
so
oh, my way.
All
it's like,
of the things he cited where he cited why, what his belief was, and much of it was based on reports from Georgia itself.
Based on reports in Georgia,
Georgia's telling him there's nothing wrong here. That long-ass transcript where he details in great specificity all of the reasons why he believes what he does, and you focus on one sentence. Can you find me 11,779 votes after he revealed there were at least 100,000 ineligible votes cast? And he cites the court precedent.
I was watching TV.
In Georgia that would allow such a dispute.
I understand. I was watching TV live when those dudes, those fake electors went
up, knocked on the door.
I was watching live. I was watching it live. And he, I guess it was the sheriff or deputy opened the door, and that woman says, "We are the electors." He goes, "No, you're not. The electors are already here." Well, we are the electors. He goes, "No." And then they held this fake mockery election at the foot of the It was so pathetic. It was at the foot of the steps, and they held it. He goes, "Okay, we're voting for Donald." We thought they were crazy people. "Okay, all our electors are going to Donald Trump. Goodbye." It was so embarrassing. Rudy, hello. Good morning. Welcome to the show,
okay.
Rudy. How you doing, Rudy?
Okay.
So
before you, Brian, can I just sum this thing up in a few sentences? What this whole thing
sure,
about with that phone call with Brad?
If Rudy doesn't mind, Rudy, do you mind? Okay.
No, I'm good.
All right. Okay. Go ahead, Sarge.
Detailed affidavits were filed by the Trump campaign dealing with this matter. Constitutionally unqualified voters cast constitutionally unqualified ballots that were constitutionally unqualified, canvassed and counted far in excess of the margin of victory, more than 10 times the margin of victory. They cited the court case of Meade versus Sheffield to back this up. It was precedent. And in that decision, the Georgia Supreme Court said petitioners only have to show that there were enough irregular or unconstitutional ballots to place in doubt the result. They don't even have to show that they were fraudulent or illegal, that they were simply irregular according to the voting procedures of Georgia, and they had hundreds of affidavits and information to support that. They couldn't get it into court.
Right, because it was ridiculous.
And it was based on precedent, Brian.
Okay. Well, the reason the court And they also called in Giuliani to question him about this election fraud. And Giuliani says, "I knew nothing about it," because he's not going to lie under oath. You can lie when you're not in the courtroom. You can say anything you want to, but when they bring you into the court, you have to tell the truth. It is the truth. That didn't have anything to do with the issue
before Fulton County. It was dealt with Fulton County and what they did in Fulton County. Because the Georgia
Georgia Election Code,
Chapter 21, Section 2, Paragraph 522. It provides the means for a candidate in a federal election. In a federal election, mind you, to contest the results of said election based on one, misconduct, fraud, or irregularity by primary election official or officials sufficient to change or place in doubt the result. Two, when the defendant is ineligible for the nomination or office in dispute. Three, when illegal votes have been received or legal votes rejected at the polls sufficient to change or place in doubt the result. Four, for any error in counting the votes, declaring results of the primary election, if such error would change the results. Or five, for any other cause which shows that another was the person legally nominated, elected, or
eligible to compete in a runoff primary election. Donald Trump had grounds on three of those criteria to challenge that election and asked Brad Raffensperger to look into it, and he was convinced when he did, he would find the 11,779 votes necessary to put him over the top in Georgia. That's what he meant. Everybody knows it. Read the whole damn transcript. You know it. I know it. The world knows it. They got Trump derangement syndrome, and they're out to derail his candidacy by any means necessary. That's it.
I think Governor Kemp is in Georgia. Yeah, he is. Governor Kemp says there was no fraud in Georgia.
The guy illegally changed the election. Him and Brad Raffensperger changed election
law.
Wait, did you hear what I just said? Raffensperger and Brian Kemp unconstitutionally and illegally changed election law without the Georgia legislature signing off. And why would they say anything else? You think they want role in this highlighted?
I want you to listen to this.
See what I mean?
You
know what they did with Stacey Abrams? You know what kind of consent decree they entered into with her? On their own accord, they entered into a consent decree with her and changed election law to allow universal mail-in balloting. The Georgia legislature did not sign off on it.
Yes. All right. Hold on, Sarge. Don't get mad.
It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Rudy only has a little bit.
Unless, of course, you want to disqualify Donald Trump from being on the ballot, then the Constitution matters.
I'm just reading the facts. I'm explaining what section of the 14th Amendment, Section 3 is. Rudy only has a short term. Rudy voted for Donald Trump. Rudy, we don't hardly get to, in the studio, he's known as Rudy Booty. Rudy, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am fine. As you can tell, we are having a peaceful conversation about the insurrection and erection. How you doing, buddy? How's it going?
Yeah, it's going.
Did Scalise die? Did he just, Rudy's from Louisiana, everybody. Louisiana, who, you know, the southern state. But did I just read that Scalise passed away not too recently?
No, I didn't hear anything about that. I know he's in bad health, but I didn't hear that he died.
What? Who is this, Scalise? Help me out. Help me out here too, Sarge, if you know it. I could have sworn he just died. I don't want to put shit out there.
Are you speaking of Steve Scalise, the man who was almost assassinated on the ballpark by a deranged Democrat?
Yeah, him. I'm thinking of him. Did he just recently pass?
Not that I've heard of.
Why am I hearing that? Huh. Okay. I was just thinking.
Here's what I've heard. I've heard that he's announced a diagnosis of cancer.
Yeah, he's
does he really?
Blood cancer. I just looked it up.
I hadn't heard that he died.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. I didn't know. Okay. Yeah, I just pulled it up here. He has he returns to work his first time after cancer treatment. What is he? Okay. He has throat cancer? Is that what's going on here?
Was that what it was? I heard something about
some kind of
cancer.
It says,
I believe it's myeloma. A blood cancer,
isn't that skin cancer? He's being treated for blood cancer. It's blood cancer. Wow, he says he feels good right now. When was this? 17 hours ago. Okay, so he said he feels good. He just came back from his first treatment of blood cancer. He's back at work. It was his first visit to his office since announcing the 29th that he would go. That cancer, man, that's a bitch. He said he was home dealing with the first few weeks of chemo. And we're 3 weeks in. My doctor says you can come up and see how you feel. You know, let me tell you something. It's funny. I don't want to bring this down. They can't measure that shit. You know, when you're a human being, right, and when they talk about radiation, they talk about chemo, They get an idea, but there's really no quantity, like, okay, you know, there's no set, we're going to zap them five times. A human being can only take 10 zaps before organs explode. They just guess at the bullshit. You know what I mean? Chemo and radiation. They just said, okay, we're going to shoot you. It should be about 10 minutes, and then we're going to test you, see if you glow in the dark. Get into this tube we call a CAT scan. And if your balls glow, A-okay. It's just weird shit. He also said
if you're a woman, you don't have balls. How does that work?
Well, it's your titties. If your nipples glow, then we got to go. It's a go. I guess I do it. If your nipples glow, it's a go. I have no idea what's going on there. He said he feels good. He's at the Capitol. He's meeting with people. We're talking about Scalise. He has talked strategy with you. You know, everybody knows this when they talk about cancer, right? You're waiting. You say, yeah, you feel good now. Come on, we all think the same thing, right? Yeah, you feel good now. Yeah, I get back from my first treatment. Yeah. Well, let's wait 6 months and see where your ass is. You know what I mean? You know, we'll see where you are.
I can relate to that. My dad died of skeletal cancer.
Oh, tell me about it. I'd like to hear it. Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, we found out in, 2012, he called me up and told me he had skeletal cancer. I'm like, okay. 8 months later, 2013, he died, so.
Yeah.
And he went through treatment. It's just, you know, it's either going to work or it's not, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, man. It was always in the back of my mind that nobody, you know what my doctor told me? It was really, and it's really fucked up, and it kind of fucked my head up. He says, you know, we all walk around with cancer cells. He says this, we all walk around with it. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you know, I'm walking around with lung cancer cells. Everybody's walking around with cells. And he said something that was really weird because he's saying, I don't believe anybody's cancer-free. This is my doctor.
Well,
I go, what do you mean?
You know, related
you don't
to that,
believe in...
if you think about this, everybody's got an appendix, right?
Right.
But what do you use it for? Nothing. But not
right.
Everybody, but certain people, the appendix just says, you know what, I'm done.
I know. I'm out of here. Same thing with the kidney. I'm tired of carrying your liquor.
Yeah, but no, with a kidney, you need another kidney. You don't need an appendix. It's just there.
Oh, you're
so
right.
You have to get it
removed. It's like a wisdom tooth. Like a wisdom
yeah.
teeth.
And you have to get it removed if it becomes inflamed or whatever. Well, I guess that's the same
wow.
thing with cancer. Everyone has cancer, but at a certain point, it becomes inflamed, and then all of a sudden, now it is a problem.
Good analogy. Good analogy, Rudy. That is perfect good analogy. That is true.
I don't think anybody
can beat cancer. I think once those cells, you know, pop up, and like my doctor said, we're playing whack-a-mole. You know, you're playing.
Yeah,
it pops up, we
hit it. What it is, too. My grandpa was a twin, right? And
right.
in 1977, he found out he had prostate cancer. And they're like, okay, well, you might as well get your affairs in order because we don't know what the hell to do with that. You know, you're going to die.
Right.
End of story.
Right.
And he did. Cause,
right.
You know, whatever. Well, in 1998 or something, they discovered
mm-hmm.
grandpa had prostate cancer. Well, that's like
mm-hmm.
20 years down the line. They ran through him with some shit and, you know, we'll take this out and do this. Boom, done. He lived to 2010. So.
Yeah. But what did he die of in 2010? Was it cancer?
No, he was old. He was 94.
Oh. How old was he in 2010?
94.
Oh, damn. Did you know?
That's what I'm saying.
I know. You know, it's funny when my doctor said that. They go, I'm looking at your age, and I go, yeah. He goes, normally... He goes, if you were 5 years, 6 years, if you were 7 years or more older, we wouldn't even give a shit. Chances are you're going to die by something else other than, you know, prostate. And they don't hardly treat anybody because it grows so slow. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to watch. Like I said, his twin brother was 51 when he died.
Yep, but how long did he have it? But I understand what you're saying. I understand.
I don't know. Nobody knew how long ago he had it. It was something new back in the day.
That's true. That's true. Well,
heck,
I'm okay.
Heck, I had a cousin that found out he had leukemia. And at 19,
What the hell, Rudy? You got a cousin with leukemia? You got a grandpa?
Well, he lived like 2 years of leukemia before he died. He died at 21 years old. But keep in mind, again, that was in the 70s. Now, today, I'm sure they probably have many ways to make you live longer. Bone marrow transplant and all this other stuff. They didn't have that knowledge back then.
Yeah. But they predict in 5 years that there'll be a pill, like the HIV pill right now, that can lower the chances of it. They predict 5 years there'll be a cancer pill that will lower the dangers of cancer, the levels at least.
They're charging $100 a pill.
Hey, it'd be worth it. Or you want to go with $10,000 worth of surgery, like the meat grinder. Hey, while we're here, this organ looks good. We can sell it on the black market. Yeah, that's what
I can't
swallow
pills, but I'll take it. I'll crush it up and put it in a glass of water.
There you go. You wonder if they do that, right? While they're there going, oh, look at that. Oh, that's a good organ right there. He's not going to be using it. He'll never know it's gone. Let's just take a slice of that liver, put it on the black market, make about 10 grand, and call it a day. You wonder.
Uh-huh.
You wonder, Rudy, with all that history of cancer, you know what I'm going to say. It. I don't have to say it to you. You know I don't have to say it to you. Rudy.
Yeah, well, actually, my grandfather was...
Yeah. Yes. Do not. you have a history in your family. When are you getting checked? You know what I'm going to say. And don't you run away. I'll find you.
Run away.
Get away from me, you liberal smoothie. I will kill you with my lightsaber. Get away. Get away, all of you, you liberal pussies. Oh, I got a whole play in my head, don't I?
Oh, yeah.
I am sorry, but you're going to have to get checked for me because we love you, Rudy. 111, you have your hand up. You're live on the air with Rudy and Sarge. Hello, one.
Yes, hello, everyone. Right,
hello,
your doctor was right. It's the it's the healthy immune system that prevents us from actually getting cancer.
Right.
The leukocyte. The leukocytes, the soldier cells.
Oh, I
so
know.
The
but listen to this.
System.
No, but listen to this. This is the George leukocyte. Here it is, my doctor. Hang on. Come on in the office. I will get that cancer. I am the George Lucas site. Zap it. It's called radiation. Star Wars history. Sorry, I'm just playing with toys. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, you do.
Actually, that was a rather clever pun there, Ryan. Not bad.
I'm just playing with toys. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mr. Solution.
They're always fighting for us. They're patrolling, like, you know, if you have an infection or something, and they come to the body is just phenomenal. I mean, it's a little bit fragile in one way, but it's an absolute miracle how it works.
Yes.
And so those leukocytes will gobble up and destroy most pathogens, right? But if one has a healthy immune system, you're right, cancer cells are circulating in our bodies all the time. And the reason we don't actually get it is because of those soldier cells and other systems that we have. But from what I understand, the NIH talks about this in their library. It's easy to pull up. But 80% of cancers,
the National Institute of Health. I just have to explain when you say NIH, I have to explain to my audience what is NIH, because they're thinking it's a nigger running around, you know, ripping things off. And it's not the N-word.
Oh, Brian,
it's the
come
National
on.
Institute.
Stop being an asshole.
I am explaining to the redneck. I got a lot of people in Louisiana that knows what the N-word is. Right, Rudy?
Hey, now.
What are you trying to say, Brian? It stands for nigger in the heat.
Yeah, nigger in the heat. I'm sorry. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Well, Brian, no, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for all these lousy puns.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Sarge, don't help him. You know, he's already in the outhouse filth.
Yeah.
Don't ever help
it's
him
easy
with
to,
that.
It's easy to get him going on these tangents.
Oh, yeah, it
he
doesn't
is
take much. Just give me something
wow.
shiny, and I'm off on the tangent. But, yes, Mr. Solution.
What
stop.
I was going to just conclude with is something like 80%. 80% of cancers are preventable. Lately, I've been reading about this colon cancer, and now it's impacting 20-year-olds. I mean, 20, and even athletes. So they don't know exactly why that is. But, you know, it develops from a polyp, and then it turns into a the growth, the large growth, I forget the name of it right now. And then it becomes cancerous, right? And so that's one of the most common ones. And then, of course, smoking facilitates cancer.
Yep.
So most cancers are preventable through diet and behavior.
Yeah, I got one for you. I heard a friend of mine told me this the other day, that one of his friends went to the doctor to get a checkup, and the doctor's like, it almost looked like you have prostate cancer, but it's just the very beginning of it. Have you been, like, taking care of yourself? He goes, what do you mean? He goes, what's your sex life like? He goes, well, it's really kind of not existent. He goes, well, you better do something, because the less you use that, the more chances of getting prostate cancer.
That is true. If you're over 45 years old, you are recommended to masturbate 3 to 5 times a day. It helps keep down cancer. It is true. It is absolutely true.
So as they say, if you don't have a woman doing it, you better do it yourself.
Exactly. I mean,
well, you know,
can read
Brian,
about it, you
I
can pull it up, but that is absolutely
this.
True.
And like they say, a broken clock pretends to be right twice a day. But, yeah, sperm cells are carcinogenic. But the way men can, obviously, eating a healthy diet, exercising, and taking zinc. Zinc is very, very crucial for reproductive health. So, yeah, and sex, yeah. This one doctor, I was listening to this guy, and it just shows you about a certain attitude. Dr. David Kipper, I believe his name was, or is. And he would give some of his male patients a note to their wives that they should have sex with them. And that shows you what gelded eunuch D-nutted guys have come to in the U.S. when they have to get a doctor's note in order to get their wives to have sex with them. So,
you're so pulling that out of context. You have to have a doctor's note.
I never heard
well, honey,
that.
I married
That's
you,
good.
But you know
that.
What? I got a doctor's
Brian,
note.
Brian,
to...
hold on one second. I'm not you. I'm not taking anything out of context. I'm actually expressing it. What am I taking out of context?
Well, I kind of over-exaggerating that she had a doctor's note.
I'm not exaggerating
anything. That you're going to have sex, and then she has sex with her because of the doctor's
Brian,
note.
Brian, hold on a minute. I know you get excited. You're the exaggerating
Wait a minute.
It
might sound like I'm underwater because I'm hearing a couple of people sound like they're underwater. Rudy, how do I sound? Do I sound like I'm drowning?
No, you're okay. You're okay. You just need to shut up. This came directly from the doctor himself.
Just a second. I just muted you, Mr. Solution.
I am God here. I have the power to make you speak and to make you be quiet. I will give you life now. You are granted, my son. You now have...
Oh, no, you're being an asshole, Brian. This came directly from the doctor.
Go on. Yeah,
anyway, I hope you heard me. You keep interrupting. This came from the doctor. This came from the doctor. He said he did that for some of his male patients.
You gotta find me one of them doctors.
What, did Brian fall in that can he keeps playing with? Hopefully.
No, you don't have to test out the theory.
No, but what was that George Lucas theme again? That George, you said Lucas something?
No, Lucas.
Lucasite.
George Lucasite. Here they come. George Lucasite. It can happen to you. Boys with toys.
Brian, you also have erythrocytes, which are the red blood cells.
Yes. What about the red blood cells? They hate the white blood cells. There's always a fight going on there.
They want to put the
Brian,
red blood cells back on the reservation.
You're being the town clown. They work
in
harmony.
Yes, that's how I make my money.
They work in harmony.
And you are part of my side circus right here, sideshow. Here it is, Mr. Solution. Ask Mr. Solution a favor. Hurry. He knows all the answers. Mr. Solution, everybody, just don't feed him. Thank you. Oh, having patty cakes or something else. One slice of that cake, woo! Patty cakes. Their prices are high as the baker.
Sounds like you've had quite a bit of it.
I had it. I believe in marijuana. Mary Jane, I'm going to marry her. Speaking of Mary Jane, Pat has left the studio. I could tell she had left the studio because she's not saying anything. Hopefully she'll come back. But no, Mr. Sushin, I understand your knowledge of cancer. And the thing about it is, you know, I don't know. It is true that we all have cells running in our body to be activated. There's certain things that will activate it. Smoking is one, but, you know, there's another one, sugar. Sugar activates cancer cells. And people are surprised with certain foods that can activate a cancer cell. There's so many. There's just so many. And
the thing about cancer is, the interesting thing is that it's best to prevent it. It's harder to get rid of it once it gets a toehold, as they say. So prevention is really the issue here, is never getting it in the first place. Exercising, healthy diet. You know,
Solution, there are people who do that and have a healthy diet and never smoke.
Yeah, but that's the exception that proves
never,
the rule.
That is an exception.
Exception.
That is an exception. They have never smoked, but yet there's people who never smoke and they come down with lung cancer. That's very interesting.
But hold on. See, this is the way people like you get it twisted conversationally. And this is
people
why
like
you can
me.
Check the charts and look at the stats. Yes, that's true. Mm. There are outliers. However,
I am not an outlier. I lie sometimes indoors.
Yeah, hold on. The standard is what is best advantageous.
Tell me, Darth Solution. I am your brother.
Idiot, hold on a minute. You're being a moron.
Hey, man, this is why you got to watch out for guys like Bill Gates. Want to hook us on his mystery meat, and they grow it in a manner that involves metastasizing cells, much in the manner as a tumor grows. And this guy wants to start eating this kind of meat. Hey,
right.
Everything these people are doing looks like they're trying to destroy us.
And
well,
irradiated.
Very good.
Now,
Sarge,
one good
I saw what you did there.
Is baking soda. Baking soda is a good counterbalance to...
Yeah, baking soda pie, man.
To acid.
You know what?
Acid. They say...
I wash it down with that,
that
apple cider vinegar. Mm. Baking soda
well,
pie
no,
and apple cider vinegar.
Hold on a minute, Brian. Put your fingers in your mouth. That'll help you.
Put my fingers in my mouth. What kind of freak
yeah,
thing are you into?
Baking soda is a good method of keeping an alkaline system. And because tumors and cancer, and they're always found together, right? They
right.
grow in an acid environment. And
now,
so,
when was the last time you jacked off, Mr. Solution? Because I know you're over 45, and you should be jacking off. In fact, you should be jacking off.
Brian, hold on.
Today.
You're a sick bastard. I don't know why you are so obsessed with sex.
That's what the doctors. Rudy, help me out here. That's
I don't even
true.
Care about Brian. You're
true.
Obsessed with sex.
No, it is true. Really?
You're impotent.
Yep.
Stop that.
No,
yeah, but it is
impotent.
True. Doctors say that. If you're not getting it with a woman, you better do it yourself.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, but Brian overplays it. That's all he talks about it.
I'm talking about your health. Now you get down there and get that. You know
he's
your balls
like
are full.
He's like the town dog, the town mutt. All he does is just goes around sniffing. And, you know, Brian, you got to stop that.
Hey,
you
can't go down to my
disease.
Level. I'm 8 years old. But you do.
You probably are a disease collector.
Oh, no, I'm healthy, baby. I'm more healthy than the average person. All the tests that I went through and I got, trust me, I'm healthier than anybody. There's no disease here, buddy. No disease at all. I'm probably healthier than you. All right. As Sarge, and thank you, Mr. Solution, for that non-physical documentary. All right. Welcome back, Pat. Sarge eloquently explained the 14th Amendment, Section 3. Towards the end, he lost it a little bit, but he held it together enough to explain to it so eloquently. Mr. Solution, thank you for your commentary. And we're going to transfer now to Hunter Biden. And Rudy, you voted for – she's not here so we could talk. You voted for Trump last time. Are you all in this time, or are you thinking about – not voting for him, and why? What do you think, Rudy?
Probably not. Well, some of the crazy things that have been happening lately. But I'm really not really a Biden fan.
I hear you. And you hate to waste that vote because you only do it every 4 years. You know what I'm saying? You hate to waste that vote. I mean, that would grate on my nerves saying that. Okay, I'm not a Biden fan. I hate Trump. But not voting because you only do it once every 4 years? What do? You know, that would get to me. Last time what I did was I wrote my name in my own ballot and voted for me. That's what I did.
To win?
There was something wrong with the ballots, and I'm going to contact the 52 states to find out why I did not win. And I'm thinking there's some kind of election interference. I should have won.
Brian, these latest charges against Hunter Biden are simply the gun charges. There's no RICO charge, no money laundering, no tax evasion, no bribery, no failure to register as a foreign agent. Just a relatively trivial gun charge. They'll give him some jail time and a fine over, and they'll completely avoid the issue of his clear and undoubted interactions with his father when it came to selling the influence of his office for personal monetary gain and corruption.
Okay, I understand that. We're going to do the transformation from from the 14th Amendment to Hunter. It's not trivial, by the way. I mean, that gun...
Relatively trivial. I said relatively.
The gun indictment has some major time in jail. I mean, this is not a civil matter.
Not
this
compared to the other things, it doesn't.
Well, you know, I'm not going to... it's funny. I don't compare traumas. You know, when somebody says, you know, I have a trauma is a trauma, jail time is jail time. If you've never been in it, you know this, Sarge, you're a former police officer. If you've never been in jail, now you're in jail, it's trauma. Doesn't matter how much time you have to spend, is that your ass is going to jail. Your privileged ass is going to jail. And it's trauma.
How much more privileged can you be than a former vice president and now president of the United States who's obviously being protected by the Department of Justice? How much more privilege can you be than that?
Very true.
Look what they're going after Trump for God's sake.
Well, Biden is going through this. He's been indicted. Trump has been indicted. There has been a trial. I think there's a trial. Did they name the trial yet? Has they got the? I don't know.
No, he's just been indicted on these new federal felony gun charges. So I don't think they set a trial date.
Right, and
so now they're not going to be able to subpoena Hunter before any of the congressional committees, because in any impeachment effort, because guess what, he could claim the fifth. So now Congress can't get him in front of him and subpoena him and make him testify. Gee, what a coinky dink!
Well, here's the inside of Hunter right here. This is according to a reporter. It's a commercial, so we can hear what's going on in the inside. But it's not trivial, and again, it's not civil. This is criminal. He was supposed to have an agreement.
Two people in Hunter Biden's camp, and I got the sense that it's just pretty dark and gloomy over there. They feel really defeated. They really thought that they were going to be successful with that plea deal that they had negotiated. Even when it first fell apart, they felt like ultimately the judge would approve it, and when that didn't happen, there was quite a bit of despair because Hunter Biden is facing millions and millions of dollars in legal debt from his various legal issues, and it's very difficult for him to find employment right now or raise money. So these charges today, I am told these came as news to their team. They have not scheduled initial appearance or how exactly he's going to turn himself in, right? Will he be arrested? Well, typically you arrange a time to turn yourself in. But I've also been asking a lot about his relationship with his father and with the White House, and I'm told by multiple sources that he's actually still very close to his dad. They talk frequently, but they don't talk about this criminal case a lot. I'm told that Hunter doesn't want to burden his father.
Can you imagine that? Just imagine that for one moment. Just imagine that for one moment. You get arrested. You're calling dad. You're thinking dad's going to bail me out. Now, your father happened to be the president, the most powerful man in the world. Dad,
with pardon power. With
exactly
power.
Exactly.
Unlimited federal pardon power.
Exactly. Dad, I'm in a jam. Something happened about the gun when I was on drugs. You know, I was a felon.
Whenever Joe decides to exercise it, he can exercise it to totally dismiss these charges against his son. Whenever he decides he wants to do it, as long as he's in the office. That's the way it is.
But can you imagine? I mean, Sarge, Solution and Rudy, when we were kids, we get in the jam, right? 19, 20, we do something stupid, right? You get in a jail, you call your parents to bail you out, okay? But you kind of have that comfort of, okay, son, we're going to work this out. And when your father's the president of the United States and he can't do anything, it's like, you know, son, I can't do anything.
He's got unlimited pardon power over all federal offenses. Even federal offenses that are in process, that are proceeding, he can end them with a pardon. He can give as many pardons as he chooses to.
I understand, but if you give a pardon now, and then that's the catch-22. If you pardon him, he's like, okay, see, we're corrupt, and you'll be the first one to corrupt, and blah blah blah.
Oh yeah,
if
like a lot of people are willing to ignore all the stuff that indicates he's been selling his office for 47 years.
Well, you pardon your son, so that looks like you might be corrupt or you might be irregular or unethical.
Right.
But,
right.
Well, you know, you being the big guy, getting 10%, you lying about the fact that you said you never spoke to your son about his business, and we got your ass on audio tape talking about a New York Times report, but you're in the clear. I mean, are you kidding me? How much evidence do you have to have?
But again, beside that fact,
I mean, we got mountains of it. Mountains.
Okay, well, then this is why we're going through the trial. This is why he's indicted. This is why we're going to go through the period of the trial.
So Joe Biden ain't going through no trial. Yes. Right now there's an impeachment inquiry that may be short-circuited to some extent by this new charges against Hunter Biden. He can claim the fifth. He can validly claim the fifth that he doesn't want to incriminate himself.
He could.
And we're
going to
bring him before Congress
and the grand jury.
They probably would have given him immunity. To testify truthfully. He could have gotten transactional immunity from Congress, so anything he said could not be used against him in a court proceeding.
What I'm trying to say is he can use that Fifth Amendment bullshit against the grand jury. They can still indict him. They can still come in with a guilty verdict and arrest his ass. Now,
if he goes before Congress and testifies to his knowledge of things for which Congress gives him transactional immunity, then nothing he says can be used.
But I'm saying, I don't know if he testified. Didn't he already testify in front of Congress? I thought he did. It doesn't really matter because they indicted him anyway, and now we're going to go past Congress and we're going to go into trial, and he will be judged by a grand jury of his peers. Boom. Done. Done.
No, he's already been indicted.
He's already been indicted
on the gun charge.
Yes, he has been indicted. We're waiting for trial, but what I'm trying to say is he doesn't have to worry about going in front of Congress now and be subpoenaed in front of Congress because he's already been indicted. He's been arrested. It's time for him to just wait for his trial date.
But remember, Congress, in order for Congress to get him to testify, if he's going to invoke the fifth, they'll have to give him immunity for what he testifies to in front of Congress.
They're not
going to
do it.
Do you think I'm interested in Hunter Biden going to jail? I'm interested in the big guy.
Okay.
Who's got us involved giving tens of billions of dollars to Ukraine because he's corrupt.
His policy is literally influenced by his corruption, Brian. Okay. But there's no reason. But we have to talk about Hunter because right now Joe Biden is not on trial. Joe Biden has not been indicted. Joe Biden has not been impeached, even though there's an inquiry going on. And we could go into the difference between the impeach inquiry regarding that than what is impeachment and how different it is. So we can go into that, but Joe Biden is not on trial right here, and Joe Biden has not been indicted. So we can only go by what we have right now.
I have something to say. Why don't you talk about those shell companies that were set up for the Biden crime family and how millions of dollars have been funneled through those shell companies, and see what Brian thinks about that.
It is literally like Byron Donald said, who worked in banking and finance before he became a congressman. He said the only reason for multiple shell companies through which foreign payments are being made and no good or service is being offered or transacted for is to launder money. He says he knows of no other instance where all of these shell companies are there other than to launder money and conceal the origin or the destination of the money and make it difficult for investigators to track it down. This is as clear as anything I've ever seen. It's money laundering. It's a way to divert funds without Joe Biden being the primary recipient initially. We start to look into it.
And don't forget about him selling the influence of his office. You've got to combine that.
That's the biggest thing. That's why we're involved with Ukraine the way we are. That's why we're running the risk of a third world war. Because of his corruption. His diplomatic policy is directly affected by his corruption.
Only in America. You can say what you want in America. You can even say that Joe Biden has a leprechaun comes out of his ass at midnight. Nobody's indicted for it. Nobody has charges for it. You can say anything you want. You can say that he laundered money. He took money. He's not up for that. Nobody arrested him for that or indicted him for that. So you can say what you want until he gets indicted for it.
I mean, according to, by your logic, Al Capone was only guilty of tax evasion.
He never intimidated a witness. No, that's not true. Your logic is not true.
Yeah, I know he hasn't been arrested. It's not a gay tautology. I know he ain't been arrested.
Al Capone was brought up on trial and charges. He was arrested and he was jailed. Sarge, Al Capone did not get in jail for murder. They got him on tax evasion.
Again.
They didn't get him on murder.
And for illegally carrying a firearm in Philadelphia, he went to jail for a week.
What I'm trying to say is that they did have probable cause to arrest him. What you just said, anybody could say that Joe Biden laundered money, Hunter Biden did this, and he jumped on an Easter bunny and a unicorn and used a unicorn to rape little kids as they crossed the street. It's off of Ghazi because it has not been fact and it has not been brought to our court system.
They've already said you can't arrest the president. You got to impeach him and remove him from office first. While he's president, he's pretty much immune from arrest.
Well, until I get him on money laundering, I'm talking about Joe Biden, and you're saying they're cahoots with his son, until he's been indicted on money laundering, which is going to be very hard to do, then you can say anything you want.
Wait a minute. You think that's the worst of his offenses? Treason, bribery. It's in the Constitution. Treason and bribery.
Well, we already
what you can do
impeach
and remove for.
We already seen treason by Donald Trump in real time.
Please stop it.
Here's the worst of the treason. So you storm the Capitol, you kill people, you yell, I want to hang my vice president. Then you come on the video camera and says, "We love you. Go home. Sleep tight. Bye bye, baby."
He just made things up, Brian.
We love you.
When did Donald Trump say to hang Mike Pence?
Oh, for God.
No.
Say.
You said Donald Trump did.
Hey, Brian.
I didn't say Donald Trump said it. I'm saying that he caused the insurrection. And when all this shit happening, he comes out later and says, "Go home. We love you." It's like, dude, they tried to burn down the Capitol. They killed three people. They're trying to hang your vice president. They're going after Pelosi. They smeared feces on the wall. They destroyed the Capitol. And this fool comes out and says, "We love you. Go home. Sleep tight."
Yeah,
we
all that makes me think
you.
They were Antifa. The conservatives don't do that. That was Antifa, man. I'm now convinced. I am absolutely convinced. This is all staged on behalf of the Democrats.
It was a great production. It must have been done by.
Like that. This sounds like Antifa to me.
You got the shaman there dressed up with no shirt with his face makeup and for Trump.
Escorted by two Capitol police officers. He didn't do any violence.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
We saw what we saw. And we saw a president who knew that they criminalized our Capitol, what we stand for, says, "We love you. Go home." Come on, man.
Jacob Chansky is on video telling the crowd not to attack police officers. We got them on video saying,
it's the same thing.
Don't attack the police.
With different looks.
Why are you trying to put him in the same category as people who tried to say, hang Mike Pence? Jacob Chansley is not in that category.
Because Sarge, when they called, even when Meadows called Trump and said, Meadows called Trump and said, stop this. You should stop this right now. This is getting out of hand. And with Trump
Brian,
said, Meadows,
Wait a minute,
Ms. Solution, you got to remember whose show this is. Don't push it.
Right, but okay,
don't
well, let
push
me
it.
In,
don't
God
push
damn
it.
It.
Don't
let me in,
it.
You asshole.
Mr. Solution,
it's some background noise somewhere.
Mr. Solution is now in timeout. Mr. Solution is now in timeout. Until he learns how to behave, he will have a voice. Let me explain something. Every month I look at my bill and I said, oh, shit, $275. Where is this coming from? Blog Talk Radio. Oh, really? And it's getting harder and harder to look at that bill when I see that bill again. Because it's getting really harder and harder to look at that bill, if you guys know what I'm talking about. Because you know that I don't have sponsors here right now. And sponsors help carry the show. And before, in old-time Blog Talk, we used to have ad things that we could, if you click on an ad, that they gave us credit for it, and it used to pay for the show. So now I don't have sponsors, and I don't have Blog Talk to give me credit to pay for the show. That comes out of my pocket. So when I hear somebody say, shut up, you asshole, this show is not a right. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Don't disrespect me that way. Because, I'll play with you. I'll joke with you. Sarge can call me names. I love Sarge because I know Sarge means no malice. I love Sarge. We play back and forth. That's our thing. But when I'm paying $200-something a month and I come on, it's a privilege. It's not a right. Now, if you want to have the right to cuss at me and call me your name, hey, sponsor the show. And if you want to know what my going rate, because I do have rates, by the way. I do have rates. And they're really simple rates. I will charge you $245 a month to sponsor the show, and you get a little calling card that says your name or your business and something because I make a living. I will do that. Then you can call me names. You have the right to. But right now, uh-uh. And I do have a big ego. I have an amazing ego. You would not believe my ego. It's so amazing. It's unbelievable. And I've earned that ego. I've earned it for 10 years. I've earned it. I have put this show on when I didn't even have that money before Blog Talk raised all that money. When it was just a little bit, and I said, I got to get on the air. I must get on the air. And I must see my friends. I must hear my friends. I used to do that. Now I'm thinking... And it's getting harder and harder. Oh, man, I don't know. So don't come on the show and disrespect me like that. Don't you do it. That's all I have to say. I'm not trying to be a bravado. I'm not trying to be an asshole. I'm not trying to do that. I am a mere mortal man with mere mortal bills. That I got to look to cut something out. I live in California. That if I have to cut something out, the first thing I'm going to cut out is Blog Talk. $270-something a month? Really? Something really, and I'm just hanging in there. So when I get called names like that, it really bothers me. It really does. Sorry, guys. I don't mean to bring anybody down. I am a human person. I am a thing, and I consider this my home. I consider this my establishment. It's the same thing if you come into my bar or if you come into my coffee shop and you have mud on your feet and you put your feet on my table. It's almost the same, and I'm just trying to make a living and sell a cup of coffee. That's all I'm trying to do. All right.
Oh, Michael.
I'll give you a kiss.
Brian, you know, I truly appreciate your agency. And, you know, the reason I come on your show is that I do have respect for your open-minded. You're actually open-minded. And that's
why
it is so disappointing to hear you repeat these tropes, these unexamined, mindless tropes about hanging Mike Pence and fomenting an insurrection that the mainstream press does with almost no examination of the issue itself. How could Donald Trump have known that the dummies who run Washington, D.C., both the capital and the city, would decline his offer of 10,000 National Guard troops in order to prevent the riot that they're accusing him of fomenting?
I will give you that, Sarge. But, you know, Sarge, if I had a group, I bring you back to a former police officer, and I really believe you were a good one. I really do, in my heart. I think you were an honest one. I think it was hard for you sometimes with the politics going on, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm saying, but
it
you know
really
what
was.
I'm saying.
Yes, it was.
I believe it was very hard for you. And I'm sure there's times where you came to a party and you see a good kid or you see a nice kid going, what the hell are you doing here? You know, what is going on? Why are you hanging around with these people? And I guess what I'm saying is that you get caught up, and you should not be there. There's a time where you saw a girl or you saw a stuff. Why are you hanging with these group of people, you know? And it's like you didn't – and the guy would say, I didn't think we were going to rob the store. I was just part of the car. I was just driving with him. He was drinking. He was going to give me a ride home. Is that you have to plan for that kind of thing. You have to just say, okay, these people are hot. I'm hot. They got guns. He knew they had guns because he said they're not trying to harm me. And – if I could contain 10,000 people without getting so hot and doing something because we don't have enough buffers, sometimes you got to take responsibility. He did not say go down there and create a criminal act. He did not. He did not say hang Mike Pence and let's shout hang Mike Pence. That's fine. He did not put a hit on Mike Pence. But sometimes you have to read the room. Sarge, you have read the room that kept you alive for many years. I'm assuming you read the room. You know when to draw your weapon. You knew when to shield yourself here, even though you don't know what house you're going into and what's around that corner. You have prepared yourself. You read the room. So sometimes, and I understand. Hey, you know what? I misread the room because we are human beings. Damn it! I should have caught that. Damn it! I should have. I felt that. I felt the hair coming out of my neck. I should have listened to it. I'll tell you a story really quick, Sarge. So anyway, I'm going to Louisiana, and I have an appearance. And Rudy's there. Rudy's right here in this studio. So Rudy was nice enough, and Rudy was there. And as I was getting out, there was this. I'm telling the story because you should have read the room.
So we
get out of the car. I'm in the passenger side. This woman had the most beautiful breasts I've ever seen. It was tan. It was beautiful breasts, big. I would say size D. Perfect nipples. She had to be like maybe 22 years old. She took off her shirt. I'm getting out of my car. She's in her passenger side car next to me, changing. I go, oh, my. Rudy's getting things out of the car. Okay, let's move it on. We got to get here. I go, okay, Rudy, okay. And I'm delaying it because now she's pulling down her panties, and she's going to change, right? I'm going, okay, here's the payoff. Then Rudy goes, are you coming or what? I'm going, in a minute, I could be at my girlfriend's. My girlfriend's there. Did you say that or not? Are you going to move it or not? I go, Rudy. Yes or no, Rudy? Read the room. Why am I going so slow? Why am I looking in another person's car? I know. Anyway, Rudy just dropped. So do you get my drift, Mr. Solution? I don't want to be a...
I get your drift, Brian, but look, I'm going to say, like, everything you just said about Donald Trump, everything, is a reason to question his judgment and his suitability as president of the United States. I don't share that view, but from your point of view, that is not a reason to put him in jail.
and indict him.
We have not put him in jail.
Indicted him, though.
Okay, he's been indicted, but he has not. And you know what? This can be.
It's not even a reason to indict him.
Sarge, you know what? Before his indictment, he was trailing Biden in the national election polls. I think this is to kind of put him over, to tell you the damn truth, because the majority of the people are saying that this is a political move.
So you said Jack Smith is an agent for the Trump campaign.
I'm not saying he's. Who said that?
Fannie Willis. Fannie Willis and Jack Smith are agents for the Trump campaign.
Wouldn't that be funny? You couldn't set it up better
than
that.
But who knows? These days, I say anything is possible. Unlikely? Sure. Possible? Yeah.
Well, you know what? This is a repeat of the Comey thing. Trump was losing. All of a sudden, Comey came out and said, we're going to look into Hillary Clinton. Trump's popularity soared, and he became president in 2016. This is almost the same thing. It's like he was kind of bouncing. Maybe he was losing a little bit. All of a sudden, they indicted him. He's soaring. Now he's past Biden.
Brian, the American people are not at all comfortable with the East German Stasi being part of the American government. Many Americans are perceiving is that rightly or wrongly. I believe rightly, but you could say that's not really just about the rule of law. But we're perceiving this as an East German Stasi situation, especially when you consider the relative triviality of crimes you're accusing Trump of and the enormity of what they're ignoring with Joe Biden and many other Democrats. Hillary Clinton, who registered similar protest to the election, Jamie Raskin mounted a floor objection to the election in 2016. Same objection to the electoral count. We had Democrat after Democrat after Democrat after Democrat after Democrat after doing the same thing, proposing alternate slate of electors like Donald Trump did. See, the American people do not like seeing this so blatant.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And
that's why they responded to it the way they are.
I agree with you 100%. So I'm not – and again, indictment is not a guilty or innocent verdict. This is just considered like there's allegations, and we got to look into this. And if the guy is found innocent,
tell me something. They recommended an indictment for Lindsey Graham and many of the establishment Republicans out there, but they didn't get charged. You notice that? Maybe somebody put a backdoor buzz in Lindsey's. Hey, you better cool your jets, Lindsey. We can always pull out this indictment and get you anytime we're ready.
I'm not sure that
might have something to do with it?
Yeah, it does.
We got the sword of Damocles hanging over your head. It would be a shame if it dropped and hit you in the head now, wouldn't it, Lindsey? This whole thing stinks, and you know it does.
When you're I'm not a lawyer, but when you're a lawyer and you're going to sue somebody, you know, the thing is worth maybe $10 million, but you want to sue them for $100 million, and you know it's like you're not going to get $100 million, so you know you're going to
All of a sudden, Fannie Willis acquired prosecutorial discretion from somewhere. All of a sudden it came out, hey, I'm the prosecutor. Even when my grand jury said I'd indict all these other people, David Perdue, Kelly Loeffler, and Lindsey Graham, I'm not going to do it because I'm exercising my prosecutorial discretion. Oh, please. See, if I wasn't in that kind of job and dealing with these kind of people for 23 years, I wouldn't be saying this right now. But I've seen this shit before, Brian. That's one reason I didn't get promoted.
They get a big –
because I wouldn't go
along
with the
man.
Shit.
Well, they'll get
That's
a
one
big
reason
man.
I didn't get a promotion.
Okay.
I mean, the promotion I should have got.
Okay. I believe that, Sarge. I believe that.
I'm just saying, man, I've seen all this before. I've heard all this before. It's all a bunch of crap. This little waging lawfare against Donald Trump and many Republicans in the Republican Party because they know that man is an existential threat to their deep state bureaucratic existence. And there are members of the Republican establishment and members of the Democratic Party who want this state of affairs to continue. Donald Trump represents a threat to it. He's not even the greatest threat they could face. They don't even want a glimmer
of the possibilities getting out to the public.
Well, I have to get this out, and then we'll go. But you're absolutely right. Well, you know it's dirty. You know, politics is the most dirtiest business in the world. It's sleazy. It's dirty. It's even more sleazy being a record than being a record producer. We know this. We she put out a big net to catch one fish, and maybe she found that maybe the guy has a weak spine like a jellyfish and thought he would turn over on Trump, and he didn't. And it's like, well, we missed that one. We took a shot. This is all part of politics, but we deal with what we deal with in court. And in court, we got indictments everywhere. And, you know, we'll go through our system because that's all we have. And doesn't mean that you're going to be arrested or you're going to be charged with it. Here's what we covered here. I have to say it. Okay, he is charged with three crimes. We're talking about Hunter Biden. Two counts for allegedly doing false statements he made while purchasing the gun, and a third count for possessing a gun while addicted to drugs. I didn't know there was a crime like that. I maybe where he lives. And that's what he was there for. Two counts for allegedly false statements he made while purchasing the gun, and a third count for possessing the gun while addicted to drugs. Now, he did do a plea deal that got him out of the gun thing, and then it fell apart when they actually went to court. And the judge says, what the fuck is this? I want you to redo this. I want you to take a look at this again. See, this is this mess that you brought me, that you want me to sift through all this? Bullshit. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. I want you guys to step back again and take a look at this shit and come back in my courtroom. And then they took it off the table, the plea off the table, said, no, let's get him for gun charges. Was it political? Yes. Of course it was. Was it political for Trump? Yes. Of course it was. And this is where we are. This is where we are.
Well, here's the thing, though,
that's
Brian.
It.
Look, it's not illegal. It's not necessarily illegal if you already possess a gun while you're being treated for drug addiction. What is illegal is making an application for a gun and not disclosing
okay.
it on the federal form 4473
when
you apply. It was a non-disclosure on the form under penalty of perjury because you signed the form. You are attesting that everything you attest to on this form is true and correct under penalty of perjury. Not disclosing that and checking the box that said, yes, I'm under treatment. Look, I think all these federal gun control laws are unconstitutional anyway. I'm sure they're going to all be ruled to be unconstitutional. But right now, they're the law, even though they're unconstitutional.
Right.
Federal government ain't got no business passing any federal gun control law. Period. End of story with who. But that's the way
right.
it is right now.
I did not know that. But if he's guilty, he's guilty. I'm not rooting for any of these people. If you're guilty, you're guilty. If you're not, okay, move on. Hunter, sounds like Hunter Biden's guilty on that. Okay. Is he going to serve a lot of time on that? I don't think so. You're right. There's a pardon there. I mean, I didn't think about the pardon. This is this what do you call it, pony show? What is this? Circus
Dog
pony
and
act?
Pony show, yeah.
Dog, yeah.
We're pissed.
Oh,
see, we're going after Hunter Biden, too, just like we went
right.
after Donald
right.
Trump. See how fair
right.
we are. Oh, please.
Right.
Oh, please.
And also, we're going to do the impeachment on Biden. Oh, but it's not impeachment. It's an impeachment inquiry. It's like, stop it already. Stop it.
You
know
I'd like
what I mean?
To remind you again, Brian. Let me remind you of this.
Yeah.
They impeached Donald Trump when he was out of office in February
yeah.
of 2021. They impeached him, and he got acquitted
yeah.
of incitement
yeah.
to insurrection.
Yes.
A formal judicial proceeding. The man
yes.
was cleared in a formal adjudication by the Senate
yeah.
of the United States because they went on the trial. He was acquitted of incitement to insurrection.
Right.
A lot of people ignoring all this like they think we're dogs.
No, we're not.
I watch open
yeah.
mouth. He's not
sure.
a president anymore. How can you impeach someone
right.
To remove him office? And he's already moved from office. By an election.
Right. Right.
But they did
well,
it anyway.
What,
they got Trump derangement syndrome. They fear this man as an existential threat. If anybody was right thinking, I am convinced. If they really want reform in government, they ought to be on the board to reelect Donald Trump because he does represent a threat, and they're behaving as though he does.
Okay,
the corruption
and you know what
constantly
happened?
Decry every day. Donald Trump is the living embodiment of someone most likely to at least put a dent in it.
Okay, and you know what happened? The man, you know how much money he raised off of this impeachment? You know how much money he raised off his mugshot? The mugshot with the pictures, coffee cup, T-shirt.
$25 million?
How much money? Millions. Millions.
Yeah, it should.
He made millions off of this. And
the American people gave it to him. They understand what's at stake here.
That's what I'm trying to say. It kind of balanced itself out. He wouldn't have made those millions if he didn't get his mugshot on these coffee cups, the stapler, T-shirts. And his popularity just surged up because majority of the people were saying, okay, now I see what's going on. This is a political thing. And that's what happened, too. So this is almost the best thing that could have happened to Trump. It doesn't sound good, but it's the best thing that could have happened to this guy. The man made millions on this.
Now, just think for a minute, Brian. What if this man gets reelected to the presidency while he's been convicted of a crime, and who knows, maybe they figure out a way to put him in jail. Now, what state, if this thing gets convicted on a state charge in Georgia, you know the state legislature in Georgia is going to be scrambling to amend the law so they can pardon him and let him out of these charges. What state is going to say, I'm keeping the president of the United States in jail after he's been convicted on state charges?
And especially that
I went there with the Democrat.
Especially
that ragtag grand. Did you see that ragtag idiot grand jury forewoman? That woman, the giggly Wiccan?
Well, you know,
good
I'm
Lord, look at what
jail.
Indicted him. Lunatic.
That jail. Yeah, that jail. I think it's Folsom. Is it Folsom that we're talking about? That jail is awful. Falling apart, rats, everything is where she can be.
Seven people and died in 6 months in that jail.
Yeah, yeah.
They died in that jail.
They have a good chance. I think they have a good chance of bumping that up to federal court. And the only reason why, if he goes to federal penitentiary, he got a good standard of living there. I do not see him going to that state.
Well, look, if he gets reelected, he's going to pardon himself as he should.
Right.
And in the state court, if the state jurisdiction convicts him criminally or something. I don't believe there's any state in the union. The pressure on any state to ensure that he gets pardoned immediately is going to be too great. Who's going to want to keep the chief executive in jail so as to govern the United States from a jail cell?
Well, we'll see. Here's Marjorie Taylor. This should make you happy, sir. Did we hear her in that? Here's Marjorie Taylor talking about.
Especially
on
some charges like this. Jesus, it'd be different if it was treason or something.
Well,
or
here's
bribery.
Marjorie Taylor. Well, here's Marjorie Taylor talking about Hunter Biden's charges. Here we go.
Hunter Biden's testimony now that he's been indicted?
I would hope not. I can't imagine that it should be hard. I don't know what he would, unless he has something to hide, and he claims he doesn't.
Are you frustrated that he's not Biden?
No, I'm not frustrated at all. I'm excited we have an impeachment inquiry, and I want this to take a long time. I really do. I see two goals in this. The first goal is investigating Joe Biden's crimes and the crimes of his family. The second goal is to cast a wide net into every department and agency to find all the people that covered this up. And David Weiss may fall in that list himself because he charged him with federal gun charges today, but he didn't charge him with human sex trafficking. He didn't charge him with tax evasion. He didn't charge him with money laundering. And he didn't charge him with not registering as a foreign agent.
Wow. That's just throwing being a pedophile, too. That's throwing littering. She is such this idiot. She is such a... this is the woman who used to taunt you guys got to go back. She used to taunt those kids from the school that got shot up. I forgot the school. And that one kid became...
Is it in the Parkland shooting?
Yes.
She was talking about people like David Hogg. David Hogg is an anti-gun activist. She was targeting specific people. She wasn't targeting the victim.
She's calling those people actors. The people who got shot, she was calling them actors. That it didn't really happen. you remember that.
Oh, you mean Sandy Hook? You mean Sandy Hook?
No, I think it was Park. I think you had it right the first time. I think you not Sandy Hook. I think it was the Park whatever. I think you had it right.
She was talking people like David Hall, not just the universe of victims there.
Right.
Oh, well, look at it. Well, look at what he did. He set himself as a big gun control activist. He was a target. We got a right to respond to people like that.
Yeah. But you can't call him sex trafficker. Again, you can say anything you want to as long as you're not in the court of law. You can call him sex traffickers. You can call him Lincolnites. You can call him
Well, you can't do that unless you have evidence. That would be slander if that's not true.
It is.
You can't do that.
Well, you think Biden's a sex trafficking?
Now, the reason a congressperson says it from the well of the House of Representatives or the Senate, then they have immunity from anything they say. Anything they say is protected speech as long as it's not a direct incitement to a crime or something like that.
They can say anything. Exactly.
They can slander, they can libel, and they get away with it all the time.
Exactly. I think we're all tired of this bullshit. And where did Rudy go? Rudy! I hope when I meant Rudy thing, it was a joke. It was a thing. I hope he didn't get offended. He left. Rudy and I have been friends for over 10 years, so I'll fix that. I was just giving an example. That's it. That's it.
I tell you, you would be astonished if you look. I'm not talking about the rhetoric and the narrative. I'm talking about the evidence the Senate Judiciary, the House Judiciary Committee has uncovered, indicating all of it is circumstantial, but it's some of the strongest circumstantial evidence I've ever seen against a public official with regard to bribery and corruption. You look at the suspicious activity reports, 152 or more of them, to the Treasury Department that Janet Yellen tried to hide for months. They finally got a hold of them. It shows the shell companies and the money trail. That alone is enough for an impeachment inquiry, but that ain't all. You've got the testimony of the witnesses, a business associate, Devin Archer, Tony Babalinsky, attesting to the fact they knew, Joe Biden knew of his son's activities. You've got his own memo to his son about the New York Times article about his potential legal troubles and say, don't worry, son, I think you're going to be in the clear about it. Remember, he said he had no knowledge whatsoever of his son's activities. You got the testimony of the whistleblowers that came with, the IRS whistleblowers, who said they were pressured to drop their investigation from the special counsel and the Department of Justice. You got evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence. I've never seen more against a public official. And these stupid people in MSNBC are like, oh, there's no direct evidence of money. That's the way it works. You don't directly accept the money. You give it to your relatives, to your grandchildren. And then they make like Joe, and then like Hunter Biden said, the big guy gets 10% of it all. Then don't worry, sis. I'm not like Dad. I won't make you pay 50% of what you make. We got that from his own laptop.
Of course.
And his memos,
again.
And the internal memos with him and his business. I mean, I swear to God, how much evidence do we need to at least launch
an
impeachment?
Well, apparently they need more. They need more to indict him. They need more to arrest him because none of that is on the docket.
You think they have this much evidence on Richard Nixon? No,
I
didn't have anywhere
near
as much evidence.
Sarge, we can only indict. We can only arrest someone for enough evidence, and you know that some people have been arrested for circumstantial evidence.
It's called probable cause.
We have had people serve time. But, Sarge, we have had people serve time in prison just on circumstance evidence. They didn't even have a real body.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There is at least probable cause. I'm not even saying any of this is proof. I carefully use the word evidence. There is evidence of these crimes.
Okay, no, that's fair. Okay, probable cause. Apparently there's not enough probable cause to put him in the jury system to arrest him or indict him on that.
You can't do it, but you're going to beat or remove him, and then you go after him.
Okay. Then they go after him, and guess what? If they do, I'll be all for it, and hopefully that it would be dismissed, because that's the way I believe in. I just want the truth to come out.
I'll be satisfied if the truth comes out under adequate adjudication where people are cross-examined and there was some kind of adversarial proceeding, unlike that
phony January 6th committee where they destroyed half the evidence that the incoming Speaker of the House told them to preserve, and they defied his instructions and destroyed mega mountains of data that they said was important for the American people to know to prove Donald Trump's complicity in insurrection and incitement to commit insurrection. These people are despicable. They're the worst I've ever seen. And they just keep getting away with it.
Well, again, you know.
Why did they destroy all that evidence that the incoming Republicans said they wanted to preserve? Why?
You know, hearing how you believe, and you deserve that. You know what, Sarge, here's what I'm saying. You deserve those answers. And by getting those answers, the only way you can get those answers is under the court of law and under the hand raised and say the truth.
Like,
and nothing but the truth.
33,000 emails like Hillary did, deleted. No
Sarge,
consequences
for
bleach bit hammers. 33,000 under subpoena.
Of all people, Sarge, you know this. You have seen this. You have witnessed this. And then after you hear it, after they go to trial, they let the son of a bitch go. You go, why did they let the son of a bitch go? He was there with the drugs. He was there at that house. He was there talking to that suspect. He was sleeping with that girl's wife. Her legs were still wrapped around him when we arrested his ass. And they let him go? Sarge, you know how it works. You know how it works.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though. But when we are seen in the glaring light of day how all of these things came to be, I understand people get away with corruption. It's part of the nature of the beast. Get it. I didn't see it. I understand it. I factor it in as a given in any equation.
Right.
Okay? Corruption is always there in government and politics. But when it's exposed to the naked light of day, when it is self-evident, I expect the appropriate people with the right authority to do something about it.
Right.
Even if they do everything they can to avoid doing so. It's out in the open now. It is blatant. It's not hidden behind closed doors.
If we did everything a politician were accused of or allegedly accused of, can you imagine?
Most of that stuff doesn't become public.
Yeah, well, I understand. Again, Sarge, and you're right, and that the book, that somebody write a book about it. There's books out there. There's information out there. It's on the Internet. It's out there. It's on YouTube. But until it gets to the court of law, it's just another allegation that someone believed. Like the person believed that Hillary Clinton had these sex kids underneath a pizza place, and that guy comes in and tried to blow it away to rescue these sex trafficking kids in the pizza parlor. And
have you seen The Sound of Freedom? You seen that movie yet? That's why they don't want to talk about that movie, because they know that movie's got their finger on exactly what's going on with sex trafficking. And you heard what Mel Gibson said about Oprah Winfrey and a lot of people in Hollywood?
No.
He's in a position to know.
Really? I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, go look what Mel Gibson is saying about this.
Wow. Well, I know that she was busy.
That's another reason they hate him,
with
call him an anti-Semite. They don't Mel Gibson's idea. They don't Mel Gibson, he's crazy. Yeah, he says crazy things. But he talks in specifics about what's going on in Hollywood with sex trafficking and children.
Yeah, he does. He's kind of like a whistleblower in Hollywood. He's tired of the politics of Hollywood, and Hollywood has the biggest – Hollywood and the political politics are no different. There's cutthroat. They stab in the back. They will poison you, get the headlines. Call that reporter that they have on speed dial, and say, hey, go over here. Trust me, it's a bad business.
That's the great thing about being as big as Mel Gibson is. He's got fuck you credibility.
Yes,
he
does.
He can say things like that, and he's too big. He's too independent. You know, he's too well established for them to cripple him completely, no matter what blows they throw at him. And people like Donald Trump is, to some extent, is similar, not completely. I mean, he's certainly got the resources to be able to put up a good fight. He's got a lot of support. But let's face it, they've got the establishment. They've got the media. They've got the courts. They've got the high ground.
So he's got all the resources,
he's facing an uphill fight. But I think the American people are what's going to put him over the top on that.
Could be. Let's let it happen. It could be. Like I said, this could be the best thing that can ever happen to Trump, Sarge. It could be the best thing. Let's let this movie play out.
The American people. We need to rein in this deep state bureaucracy. that is really running the show, and nothing could make it more glaring than to have a senile, demented, potato-head corruptocrat for whom the deep state pulls the strings. It's evident. We can all see it.
I do not. I want to go on record that I do not believe we're in a deep state. But anyway, you're free to believe what you'd like to believe.
We can see it. Do you think he's running the White House?
Do you think he's making any decisions?
He says, how many times did he regularly say, I got to go now. I can't answer questions. I'll get in trouble. He said that, eight or nine times at public events.
Trump has said that.
He's so senile, it just gets out because he knows the kind of pressures he's under. He knows he's not capable of running the show. He knows he's not running the show.
Well, you really think Trump ran the show?
He just signed the legislation.
Do you believe in your heart that Donald Trump ran the show? Come on, man.
Any other president in recent memory, maybe since FDR. Yeah, more so.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Would listen. Why do you think people would talk about being so reckless? He won't listen to anybody. I mean, he would take their counsel, and then he'd do what he thought he needed to do.
No, he listened to someone.
No matter what they say, Trump was not a dictator. He repeatedly refused to invoke executive authority where he had no constitutional authority to invoke executive authority. He repeatedly refused to do it. Despite that, the people who actually are the dictators, like Lucian Grisham in New Mexico, would call him a dictator.
Well, again,
he's
we
not
have
a dictator. He's got to work within the powers of separation. Within the powers that are enumerated to the presidency, so he regularly pulled back
to the show.
When he said he didn't have authority.
I want you to listen to the show Monday. I'm going to invite you to listen to the show Monday. I wish I could have it over the weekend. And I have the actual thing by Bob Woodward. Trump brought him in 2016, how this actually happened from the beginning of how he became a candidate and how the Koch brothers surrounded him with people who pressed him on. It's very interesting. And it's going to be, I'm going to do that Monday morning, and how Trump became the candidate Trump. It's very interesting. Hello, Pastor Don, CEO. How are you doing? God bless you, my friend.
God bless you too, brother. I'm here. I'm just getting in. I'm late, but I'm here.
I'm glad you're here. Good to hear your voice. God bless you. And you're here just in time because we need a little spiritual awakening. You're here just in time.
All right.
Thank you, Sarge, for going from the beginning of explaining the 14th Amendment and the Section 3 and all that stuff, and I appreciate it. But I'm going to try to squeeze this in because I made some promises to some people. You know, we talked about religion. We talked about religion yesterday. And what I'm going to do, Pastor, don't you hang up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold because I know you got background noise. And when you're ready, just hit the number one on your phone so you let me know you want to talk. Is that cool?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I'm here.
Yes.
Amen.
Pastor Don Jr., CEO in the house, everybody. Mr. Celebrity himself. Who's a producer, promoter. You heard of Don King? You haven't heard anything. You think Don King was good? Pastor Don King Jr. is better. Better. He brings God with him. Don King just brought his mouth. Pastor Don. Did I say Pastor Don King Jr.? Oh, shit. Did I say that again? Pastor Don Jr., CEO. It's in the house. Pastor Don Jr., CEO, in the house. There you go, Pastor. I just want to, you're a promoter, you're this, and you got to understand where my mind is. But Pastor Don Jr. is in the house right here. You want to talk about music, he can answer it. All right, here we go. We have a resident person, Pat. Thank you, ma'am, for coming back. We talked about paganism. We talked about what paganism is. And I see it's 19 minutes. I'm going to give it a little bit more minutes. It is Friday. We got Pastor Don Jr. in the house. We got Sarge in the house. We have you, Pat. And we went through it, and what is paganism?
What is the thing about it? And I want to give Sarge ultimate kudos for being a nice person about it. Even Laverne said, you know, I'm surprised that Sarge, first of all, knows so much about it, but he was respectful of it. I thought he was going to come down on it. I thought he was going to do this, and he did not do it. He did not do it. And I go, yeah, he's a good guy. I want to thank you, Sarge, for not trolling Pat or going after Pat because of what she believes in. And that was really nice of you.
Well, actually, Brian, the reason I didn't is because so much of human development was governed by a belief in polytheistic paganism. And not all
right.
of it was negative. So, I mean, I'm
right.
just saying that, you know, for us to disregard that as though it wasn't significant and important to our present-day understanding, I think is short-sighted. I mean,
right.
you know, I take exception in many respects to many religions and most of them. But to just
mm-hmm.
dismiss paganism as something that wasn't crucial in human development understanding is simply, I think, a religious chauvinism.
Right. Well,
we're all groping for the answers here. We're all groping for the answers to whatever it is that has us here and what our ultimate destination is after we pass from this existence. We're all groping for an answer to that. It's probably the most central question of human existence.
Wow. I see. I'm really proud of that. What do you think, Pat? Isn't that cool? I mean, he took the high
yep.
road, and and he didn't go after anybody. He didn't attack anybody for what they don't know. And, you know, we're going into different religions. It's Halloween is coming around the corner, folks. And there's some – and Pat just told us some personal stuff about her yesterday. That probably raised some eyebrows to some people, not to me. I respect all people's religion. If I don't know anything about your religion, I want to know. If you worship a carrot, I'd like to know why you're worshiping that carrot. You worship a cabbage, I want to know why you're worshiping that cabbage. If you're worshiping the nature, or the natural stuff, the rocks, the trees, the nature, if that's your spiritual power, why do you get how do you get that power from the energy of nature, which we have found that maybe pagans have that, maybe that's their rock or that's their foundation about their surroundings. And if that is true, if anybody saw Star Wars, you would know that Yoda will say the Force. The Force comes from everything, the ground, the trees. If you're a Star Wars fan, you will know what Yoda says. And it's almost, if you, Pat, in fact, and Pat, have you ever seen Star Wars before? Have you ever seen it?
Oh, yes.
Isn't that, so would Yoda kind of, Yoda could be a pagan, couldn't he? The Force that he uses around, I mean, he's not that different from a pagan. What do you say?
It's not.
And what he teaches is almost could be paganism, saying the Force come from the trees, the branches, the leaves, whatever, the brook, the running water. It's nature brings you the Force, and that's almost what pagans believe in. Am I correct? It's interesting.
Well, more or less, yeah.
Yeah. So Yoda is a pagan. That little fuck. Yeah, pagan, am I?
That pretty much nails it, Brian. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a pagan worldview in Star Wars, man. It's definitely there.
Wow. It is.
I mean,
it,
they're not hiding it. I mean, it's clearly stated in most of Star Wars too.
Isn't it? Force and the Dark
whiskey?
Force?
Please.
Right. And the
yeah.
dark force that comes, I mean, it's dark witchcraft and they can do this and I can see the good in you. There is, I don't know what's going on there.
You know what Manichaeism is?
Yeah. No,
black
I don't.
And white view of a religion that dealt with a black and white view of the nature of good and evil and man and all that. It's literally black and white. You get a dose of that too. It's like monotheistic paganism in Star Wars. Like
wow.
combinations of two.
I'm going to have to rewatch it in different eyes, but there are some undercurrents there that I did not know. There are some undercurrents. I mean, Pat, did you see this similar when you were watching Star Wars? Seriously, did you kind of relate to what Yoda was saying? I'm not even joking. I'm just thinking
now. Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, they took it a little far the other way. But, yes. Yes,
wow.
I did see the similarities.
Wow. Wow. Can you, see, there I'm going. And AI, look how far ahead of Star Wars. AI with CP3O and R2. And we want to reach and say George Lucas knew about the future with the AI people, like Captain Kirk did. Captain Kirk on Star Wars, where he had his phasers and he opened it up and they became our flip phones. Remember that? They became our flip phones. So it's weird how art imitates life and life imitates art. So I want to thank Pat for doing that. It took a lot of courage. And I just had my friend Rudy on the show. I just had him on the show. I wish he didn't go. I don't think he did it because of me. I think the man's busy. He goes to work in a radio station, then he drives for Uber, and he finally comes home at night. So I'm thinking that's what happened. But people wonder where voodoo is. And they get a miss. They get this thing about voodoo. What is voodoo? Voodoo, voodoo. And where did voodoo come from? Where did it come from? Who knew about voodoo or do the things that you do with voodoo? Now,
I've never played with it. Played with it.
You know about voodoo as we know about paganism. You know, voodoo is a religious practice.
Yes,
it's a West African. They called it Vodun, V-O-D-U-N. Vodun. West Africa. Who invented this? Black people did. All right, we're going to fix you guys up. You got the Christianity and you got this other stuff. And we're going to be over here and we're going to shrink your heads and do some voodoo on your ass. I'm sorry. It's true. That's what voodoo is. It's called Vodun. It's meaning spirit in fun gun. Phone gun, F-O-N-G-U-N, and E-U-D languages. It's also spelled Vodun, Vodun, voodoo. It gets to be voodoo.
Yeah.
It's a religion practiced by A-J-A-E-W-E. Now, she doesn't sound like she's a black girl from Chicago. She sounds a little African. It was practiced by A-J-A-E-W-E and Fon people, F-O-N, of Benin, Togo, Guyana, and Nigeria. Guyana and Nigeria. This is where voodoo was invented. Our people. Well, we're going to be over here and doing our little thing. Oh, there's a white guy. Okay, we're going to make a little straw of that white
dude. Another little bit of trivia for you, Brian. The United States Air Force had a jet fighter plane, a reconnaissance plane called the F-101 Voodoo.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
It's well-known, a very well-regarded, high-performance supersonic fighter aircraft called the F-101 Voodoo.
Wow. So, thank you, Sarge. So when we hear that, and they're going to make fun of wokeness, and they're going to make fun of some of the black tribal dances, or we'll rip it off, and we'll rip some raps off in Nigeria and everything. Who knew that voodoo came from Nigeria and Guyana? We invented voodoo. That surprises me. Did you know that, Pat? Did you know that, Sarge?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah. Why are you surprised?
Wow.
Oh, I've known that for a long time, man. Santeria, it's got
really
a lot of variants, though. There's all kind of variants involved in voodoo, man. I mean, you know,
it's
spread all over the
diaspora. You have.
Wow, I never knew that. Well, the Haitians are going crazy with it. Well, here's a little bit. It's only 3 minutes. Here's a little bit. I don't know if it'll work. Article on voodoo.
But you got to remember, too, though, African voodoo.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Well, African voodoo is suffused to, it's not in its pure form when the Yoruba came up with it. It's suffused with Christian and Islamic elements, too. Depends on what you're talking about. You know, which strain you're talking about. So, it ain't, you know, it's cross-pollinated with some other religious things, too.
Right. Well, here's a little bit of it. It's 3 minutes. Listen to this.
Especially in Haiti. Especially
voodoo,
in Haiti.
Also spelled voodoo, voodoo, vodun, or French vaudou, a traditional Afro-Haitian religion. Voodoo represents a syncretism of the West African Vodun religion and Roman Catholicism by the descendants of the Dahomian, Congo, Yoruba, and other ethnic groups who had been enslaved and transported to colonial Saint-Domingue, as Haiti was known then, and partly Christianized by Roman Catholic missionaries in the 16th and 17th centuries. The word voodoo means spirit or deity in the Fon language of the African kingdom of Dahomey, now Benin. Voodoo is a worldview encompassing philosophy, medicine, justice, and religion.
Wow. Wow. Voodoo is a world, I want to see that. Voodoo is a worldview encompassing philosophy, medicine, justice, and religion. I mean, I'm thinking, I'm such an ignorant fuck that I'm thinking, well, voodoo, you're going to shrink my head and put pins in the doll and make my ass itch. Or that's all I'm thinking about voodoo. That's all I know about voodoo, that there's some guy with a bone in his nose and he's hiding behind some curtain going, come here, Brian. What spell do you want to do on someone? I'm thinking it's evil. I was not thinking that it was this enlightening to be to combine these elements. Isn't that interesting? The God of the Christian Bible is understood to be the creator of both the universe and the spirits. And it has philosophy, medicine, justice, and religion. I mean, I'm enlightening here. I'm on fire. I'm enlightening. I'm in thunder. Just enlightening me. Let's go right back to it.
Its fundamental principle is that everything is spirit. Humans are spirits who inhabit the visible world. The unseen world is populated by LWA, spirits, Misti, mysteries, Anvizib, the invisibles, Zanj, angels, and the spirits of ancestors.
Very interesting. They believe in angels. They believe in invisibles. The invisibles could be your guiding. What is that person you're guiding? Damn it. What is that spiritual thing that guides you? Your, what do they call it, Pat? What do they call it? Your angels, but it's your guardian, is your guardian angel, but he's your guide.
Guardian spirits, or yeah.
Yes. I forgot the name of it.
I'm not always the best believer in that, but...
yes! There you go.
I kind of believe
you
have to be responsible yourself, you know?
Yeah, but this is enlightening to me. It really is. I mean, I'm learning something, and we're almost done. Here we go. God, look at this.
The recently deceased. All these spirits are believed to live in a mythic land called Ginnin, a cosmic Africa. The God of the Christian Bible is understood to be the creator of both the universe and the spirits. The spirits were made by God to help him govern humanity and the natural world. The primary goal and activity of voodoo is to sevi LWA, serve the spirits, to offer prayers and perform
That's right. Serbian NWA. Oh, I mean LWA. Musical joke. Didn't work. We move on. Here we go.
Various devotional rites directed at God and particular spirits in return for health, protection, and favor. Spirit possession plays an important role in Afro-Haitian religion, as it does in many other world religions. During religious rites, believers sometimes enter a trance-like state in which the devotee may eat and drink, perform stylized dances, give supernaturally inspired advice to people, or perform medical cures.
Supernaturally inspired advice to people? How is that different from being a psychic? How is that different?
Not much.
We intertwine. I know, right? We empower, we're entwining so many things, and we break off with sub-branches and sub-cultures, but it came from one culture. It came from... This is very interesting. I think, you know what, it's making me really horny. I want to do a voodoo princess, or I want to do her now. Knowing her, she'll shrink my penis as a shrunken head.
I had a girlfriend that was from Haiti. And,
did you really?
It was exciting and it was dangerous because that woman was volatile. She was sexy as hell. She was gorgeous and she was dangerous. Man, I was in fear of my life the whole time I was with her. I was as scared as I ever was in Vietnam. I never knew what she was going to do. But I'll tell you one thing, man. She was in the voodoo in Santeria and all that, man. And like, man, I tell you, I got to be too intense for me. I couldn't deal with it anymore. I'm sorry. I'm kind of a risk taker, man. But this thing, she was something. I mean, if you like living on the edge and you like a woman that is completely unpredictable, then you
right.
would love being with this chick. She was from the Haitian semi-aristocracy. She was well educated, and she was really gorgeous, but man, she was a lunatic. She scared the dog shit out of me.
I'm just saying, man,
because I remember it now, man. I mean, it was thrilling sometimes, but sometimes, man, it was just, man, I got to get off this train. This train ain't got no brakes. It's head downhill. But I'll never forget her, though. I mean, she was one of the more memorable women I've ever known in my life. That's for sure.
Wow. But you'll never forget her. You'll never forget her.
No, I won't you'll forget never. Her. You know?
I had to bring this up with Stanley. Stanley.
And I told my wife about it because I met her before I met my wife, man. She said,
right.
she told me about, you know, some people she known like that. And we kind of compared notes, and it was really enlightening.
Well, it's not uncommon in the South. I'm not kidding. In Louisiana? I think there's some in Georgia. There's some Mississippi, Alabama. You're going to get some traces of that somewhere, you know, Tennessee. You
man,
know what I mean?
I slept with one eye open with this woman, man. I'm saying I slept with one eye. I mean, that woman is scared. That's the only woman in my life I have known genuinely frightened.
That sex must have been real good for you to stay there.
I mean, on a personal level. I'm talking about on a personal level.
Wow. I can't top that. You scared the hell out of me, Sarge. Here we go. The only thing I can do is continue. We're almost done. One more minute. Here we go.
Special physical feats. These acts exhibit the incarnate presence of the LWA within the entranced devotee. Voodoo ritual activity, e.g., prayer, song, dance, and gesture, is aimed at refining and restoring balance and energy in relationships between people and between people and the spirits of the unseen world.
Wow.
Voodoo is an oral tradition practiced by extended families that inherit familial spirits, along with the necessary devotional practices, from their elders. In the cities, local hierarchies of priestesses are priests, Manbo and Aungan, children of the spirits, Aunsi, and ritual drummers, Auntogi, comprise more formal societies or congregations, Sozit. In these congregations, knowledge is passed on through a ritual of initiation, Kanzo, in which the body becomes the site of spiritual transformation. There is some regional...
Spiritual transformation? What the hell is going on there? They ate some of Pat's patty cakes. What is spiritual transformation? Spiritual transformation. Pat, I'm going to refer to you as close as I could. Yeah.
Well, when they're possessed, so to speak, they do go through some stuff.
Possessed?
You know, I don't know if that's what they're talking about. Yeah, they get possessed.
It sounds like it. The body becomes the site of a spiritual transformation. There are some region differences in ritual practices across. They do believe in possession. That's for damn sure, Pat. What the hell?
They do.
And Sarge had the nerve to lay down with one. Sarge had the nerve to lay down with one of these Haitian hoodoo, and they did Sarge do woman. What is wrong with him? You know what? He could be possessed, and he doesn't even know it.
We're going to have to.
I don't think we're going to have to
really do an intervention with Sarge to see if he has any possession from this voodoo lady.
I hate to admit it, but I think she might have cast a spell or two on me. She was always burning incense and stuff like that in the house. She had candles all over the place. She had portrait saints all over the place and stuff.
You know? Oh, did she really?
And man, yeah,
oh,
she
yeah,
had all
the saints of Santeria. Yeah.
Oh damn.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm just saying she was definitely a devotee, shall we say. At the same time, she was very well educated. She's very cultured. She's very intelligent.
Right.
Charming. Absolutely, just volcanic.
Wow.
I don't know how to describe her. You probably would have loved her, O'Brien.
I'm already in love with her.
I need a bit
more
stability
right
in my life, which is why I'm glad I found my wife with a complete counterpoint to her. Although she's every bit excited. Don't get me wrong, she's every bit excited. But my wife was the epitome of stability and reason. And, you know, and this woman was like on that spectrum completely opposite.
That sounds like my kid's dad compared to reality.
Does it, Pat? Tell us about the system.
She would try to explain her religious beliefs to me and all that, and that voodoo had a bad name, and people were, you know, constantly maligning it because they didn't understand it, you know, which probably is largely true. But,
I'll tell you.
You know, it had a lot to do with ancestor worship too. There was ancestor worship in there and all of all these other elements.
I'll tell you something, Sarge. I mean, at least you did it. I went. I think I was a traitor of the United States of America. Maybe I should have talked to a. I was a traitor, and what I mean by that, and I'm being serious. Doesn't matter how I met her. When I met this woman, she was Russian. Polish, but she spoke five different languages. Beautiful redhead. Beautiful redhead.
Uh-huh.
Not kidding. Just absolutely gorgeous. Well, as a relationship, she was very interesting. I knew the first thing she said to me, I should have watched out. We're in a club. That's how I met her. It was one of these Beverly Hills Club. I was in the Beverly Hills Club, and it was at the time I met her. I was sitting at the table, and you could dance. At those times, you could dance. It's like a disco. They turned it into a disco, you know. It was this practice hotel thing. Saw her there, met her. She sat at the table. Can we sit here? And I go, yes, you can sit there. It was crowded. We struck up a conversation. We got along. She had to leave. I just met her. Mind you, I danced with her one time. I just met her for 10 minutes. And she said to me, she goes, are you going to stay? I go, yes, I'm going to stay. I can't do the accent, but you get it. She had a lovely, lovely bunch of coconuts. She had a nice little, oh, my God, her cleavage just spoke to me. Hello, cleavage. It just spoke to me. And she goes, honey. I go, yes. She goes, if you dare dance with a woman, I cut your nuts off. You know, I'm laughing it off, right? Little did I know she had a nut cutter. But then she left. I'm laughing it off, Sarge. I'm not in this kind of world. What kind of world is this? Bottom line. We got involved, and we passed forward. It's 3 or 4 months later. Now I'm at my apartment, and she used to stay over. She came over one time, and she had a Glock. She had a – no, was it a Magnum? It was a huge-ass motherfucking gun.
Was it Desert Eagle?
Something. It was big. This was a big-ass gun. I'm in the kitchen. I'm making something. I'm chopping up some salad. She goes into the bedroom. She comes out. She has a big purse. She comes out. She takes the gun out of her purse, and she points it at me. She goes, honey. I go, whoa, hey, how you doing? I mean, if you didn't want to eat, we could go take out. She goes, no, you have another girl here. I go, I do not have another girl here. Suppose that you got in there for another woman, and I'm going to kill you. And she pulled out that gun. Sarge, I thought she was kill me, right? And I explained to her that that was her outfit that she had. And she goes, oh, I forgot that I did have that outfit. Then she comes back. She goes, just a minute. She goes to the car. She has to come back with this folder. And in the folder, it has some paper, right? Inside the folder was another gun. And then I noticed that she had, like, a little sparrow right on her shoulder. And then she told me who she was. And then she
worked for the government. She was from Russia. And what they usually do is they come here to the United States, they take information, they go back and forth. I go, I don't care. You should have seen those lovely tits that she have. All I saw was the tits and the nipples. I was in there. But you did what for a living? I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Oh, you steal documents from the United States of America, and then you send them to Russia? Is that what you said? Yes, honey, that's what I said.
Did she work for the consulate or an embassy? For a
she worked for
Was she a diplomatic
embassy.
Official?
She worked for the embassy.
Oh. Was she a, was she a member of the diplomatic corps?
I didn't go any further than that, I'll be honest with you. All I heard was embassy, Russia. I'm out.
She
if you
probably
guys,
was.
If the cops were going to break in.
In other words, she'd have blown you away. She'd have had diplomatic immunity. All it could do was
And I'll tell you, Sarge, so here's what, so after that evening, right, she had the gun. We go into the bedroom. I convinced her that's her gun, and she realizes her gun. She goes, honey, and she placed the gun right next to us. Her legs were in the air. We're having the sex. The gun was next to her. And I kept staring at the gun. And I said, you know what would be fun? She goes, what? If you point that gun at my head, well, I do you. She goes, honey, you really want me to point the gun at your head? Yeah. Why not? Now, I'm thinking the safety's on.
Are you nuts?
Silly me. Silly, silly me. Sarge, she put the gun to my head, into my forehead. We did the thing. And then after we're done, she put the gun down and she starts laughing hysterically. And I go, what's so funny? I thought I was amazing. She goes, honey, you are always amazing. I go, what's so funny? Oh, I thought I had the safety on, but I did not. I go, you what? What?
Have you never ever heard the maximum, there's no such thing as an unloaded or safe gun? Is only the application of safety mechanism. It ain't ever safe because it's a lethal instrument.
I did not know. Where were you? I should have called you, Sarge. I'm having sex now. Tell me about this.
Right, yes, sir.
That,
you know, the one
so
thing about this dame I just told you about, though, Brian, she had this color, half color thing, because, you know, in Haiti, that was kind of, she was very light-skinned. And, you know, she knew French ancestry maybe back 100, 150, 200 years. And it's very colorful because you would remind me of it. Because even though you were very dark, and I'm not really dark, I'm medium brown complexion. I'm not light, I'm not dark, I'm light in the middle, right dead smack in the middle, brown. She said, I still accept you even though you are too dark for me. You know, she had this color consciousness thing, too. That a lot of the Haitian aristocracy have.
Right.
I pick you while you dark, but you handsome. I tell you though, man, I mean, she was really, she was an eyeball. I swear to God, man. She had such a mixture of all of these elements. And like I said, it was a religious thing to put her on the spot.
Wow. Now, did she try... Well, you knew she was Haitian, right? So did she tell you about her religion?
I couldn't afford it. Her accent was, even though she spoke English very well, she had very good diction, phrasing,
right?
Subject, predicate, agreement, use of conjunctions, adverbs. Her English was excellent, but it was so heavily accented. Jesus Christ, there was no way you could not miss it. I knew what she was.
You know, it's weird
picking up the cup with a knife. And by the way, it was kind of sexy. Everything about this woman was this one sexy woman, I'm telling you. She really was, Brian. I mean, she's
a woman.
Lord have mercy.
But when you have sex with that kind of woman, you're having sex with spirituals and all kinds of entities in that woman. It could be an spiritual awakening. I'm telling you.
It's too much for me, man. I gotta have stability and some rationality. Rationality is rather important to me. And this one was completely irrational. I'm sorry. It just canceled out all the other unique, appealing qualities.
I went out. You remind me of a thing. Now that I look upon it, I think I was a bitch. It was this one beautiful black girl, and she spoke French. She didn't even speak any English. And I said, what this entity in you? She spoke fluent French, by the way.
I thought she was possessed by the devil, and I ran like hell, got in my car, and drove. What kind of black woman speaks this French? She had to be possessed with something. I ran, drove, locked the car. I prayed to Jesus.
Imagination,
on the way. Oh,
man.
Please, Jesus.
No.
I know. Imagination. Probably, but I was not aware that black people can speak French. And you didn't speak English? Do you speak English? No. I'm out of here. You're possessed by some kind of...
Well, I told you about my black Cajun grandfather, the darkest man I've ever personally known in my life. I mean, he was mahogany black. And he spoke very good French. Like I said, when he was a doughboy in World War One, he was a translator with the French unit that he was assigned to. He was assigned to the French Fourth Army, and he regularly acted as a translator.
Wow.
He spoke Cajun from being in, you know, in Louisiana.
That's impressive.
I told you, he sounded just like Troy on Swamp People. His accent was exact. His voice, the timbre of his voice, you listen to Troy on Swamp People, you are listening to my grandfather. Their voices were identical.
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and
I mean, identical. That same timbre, that same burr, everything. Identical. The same depth. He had a very deep voice. He was like Troy. Exactly
oh,
the same.
Oh, like,
exactly. And Troy
wow.
was a Cajun, just like my grandpa. Black
so he was French? Oh, so your grandfather was Cajun, so you got some French in you, Charge? You
he
got French?
Black, yeah, I told you my DNA test confirmed
wow.
it. 4%
wow.
French ancestry. And
wow.
my grandfather confirmed, because he's, like I said, he spoke French. He was a Cajun. He was a black Cajun.
Well, you're lucky because my
so
grandfather.
What's so unusual about that?
Well, I don't,
no,
unless you're from
at all.
Louisiana. I you don't hear, there's not many Cajuns in Georgia, is there, Sarge? I don't
Not that
see
I know
it
of.
There.
Although
yeah.
there should be, because they ain't that far away.
Mississippi, you're right. Around Mississippi, Alabama, there should be some kind of French influence with Louisiana. Huh, interesting. You're not going to get many French black people in California. We shoot them. What's that language you're speaking? DJ, Pierre. We're in double A.
I'm just kidding about that. The French don't have a history of surrender. The French have a rather well-established martial.
The French do have a history of surrendering.
They acquired that with
I have
the Second World guys. War. And Dien Bien yeah. Phu, and they got that nasty reputation. Because there's two things. The Second World War and Dien Bien Phu. And that just stole everything. Napoleon, the English wars with England, and all the standard Verdun, all that got thrown
yeah.
away because of World War II and the Germans beat them in 6 weeks and Dien Bien Phu. I didn't surrender much.
Well,
and
you just go
really
to France.
Unfair,
and
but that's the way it is.
To this day, you get some chocolate and nylons, you get a good table in France. There you go. To this day.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
But it is interesting, though. I mean, you know, when people, if people were just bright enough, smart enough, they would look at an African-American person, and as Ara did and as you did with the Haitian woman, and Ara was the girl that was with me, the Russian, whatever. And you see the different kinds of blood that runs through an African-American man. You know, you got the straight African blood, and then you got the French blood, and you got the Scottish blood, the Irish blood, the Indian blood. You know, it's just a very interesting, and if more people were smart, they would sit down with an African-American man or woman, and they would just ask, instead of doing that 1, 2, 3 and me, just ask and just say, and you'll see, you will hear millions of stories. You will hear beautiful stories. You'll hear sad stories too, but you will hear just, I mean, if you think about it, if you sit there and you have coffee or you have a drink and you sit there with a cigar, and then there's a man, a beautiful African-American man will just sit there with a cigar and tell you a story. And these stories could be different than the story you're going to hear of the other brother across the way. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And they'll tell you wonderful stories, and they'll tell you about a culture. They'll tell you about a people
who were taken from another land, and they were forced into slavery, and they were beaten, and they were cussed at, they were sold, and they were raped. But yet, their offsprings who were sold to other plantations, and then sooner or later, they will grow into the army and fight for their country that enslaved them. Who else has that story?
Brian, you will never hear me say that I'm proud of my ancestors, because I had no say in their lives. They are the ones who take pride in whatever it was they did. I am grateful for them. That's what I am. I am, because without them, I wouldn't be here. Every single person, I keep saying it, every single person, my direct ancestral line, however they got there, was responsible for me being alive. So I am grateful to all of my ancestors, my Cameroonian, Congo, Nigerian, Malian, Germanic, Irish, Welsh, Scotch. I'm grateful. All French, all of them. It took all of them to get me here. I'm grateful. I ain't proud. I am grateful to them, and I acknowledge every single one of them, no matter what they did to get me here. Because I'm enjoying life. I'm glad I am here.
Amen.
That can be called a paradox, but I'm reconciled to it. I'm satisfied with it, and I no longer have angst, doubt about it. They are the reason I exist, and the same thing for you and every other human being that's alive.
That's right. It's like, wake up, white people. We're here.
Wake up, white people.
No, we're kind of intertwined whether we want to be or not.
That's true. It is so, and the world is, you know, in California, I know in California, only then we'll end the show. I see more and more interracial commercials or biracial marriages and interracial kids and more in commercials in California. I don't know where they're showing them in Georgia. Maybe they don't. But every commercial see
sir.
A couple.
No, wait a minute, sir. Let me correct that right away. All I watch TV for is the news. The news. I watch news.
Yeah, I do too.
Much all, whenever
I do too.
And when I was growing up, you never saw black people in commercials. Okay? Never. There's the one black people. How come there ain't no black people in commercials ever? Overrepresentation. You think at least half of the people in that, you look at the commercials, at least half of the people, if not more, in the United States are black. I mean, it is like a saturation of black people in commercials, and especially interracial couples.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
it is like it's like the pendulum that swung 180 degrees in the opposite direction. Maybe 150 degrees from what it was.
You are right. But you know what's getting there now?
I never seen nothing like it. Every day. It's like you would literally think black people half the population as look commercial.
But you know what's catching up? Is the transgender commercials. They're showing them here. Hello, Pastor Don Jr. There you go. I saw your hand up. How you doing, sir? But, Uh-oh. Pastor Don Jr.?
Especially black women. They are really wildly overrepresented.
Is it my imagination? I hope Pastor Don Jr. is listening to him, because if he's saying anything, I can't hear him. Has it lately that black women? Now, what I'm about to say could be racist and probably take away my black card. You'll probably take away my black card and throw me away. But is my imagination, or black women, or how can I say without sounding like an asshole, more beautiful than they were?
Amen.
The style,
I agree.
The fashion.
I think they're more beautiful. I don't think they're any more beautiful. I think what they are is their beauty is allowed is expression and illumination.
But I remember
women when I'm growing up, every bit is beautiful, not more so than women living today. I just saw a picture of Tammy Terrell the other day. God Almighty! Wow.
I know.
Tammy Terrell died, 1969? But she was typical of the kind of beauty of black women that didn't get the kind of exposure it really deserved.
I'm going to tell you, when I grew up, when I saw a black woman on TV, she had the afro and a pick in her hair.
Why would you think it's an asshole for saying that? Wait a minute.
But I have to be careful because, I saw the image that I saw with Woodstock, Jimi Hendrix, black woman. You know, when they put a black woman on TV, she had the afro, the blowout, and a pick in her hair. She was beautiful, and maybe she had a dashiki on, and she's dancing and everything. And now that I'm looking at black women on TV, I don't even know what kind of black species they are. That's a different kind of black woman. It's like, what the hell happened? You know what I mean? The makeup is different. The makeup, the clothes, the movement, the hair, you know, even the weave is going out. It's like, what the hell?
Well, let me give you an example of what I mean. Let me give you an example. Now, you know what I mean? Referring rather disparagingly to Karine Jean-Pierre, and I don't take back one damn word.
Okay, she's one.
But she's really a pretty woman.
She's very cute, pretty.
She really is.
It's at that forehead. She has to do something. But to be honest with you, that forehead has to go. You have to cover that up with a hat. But other than that, she's beautiful. I'm just being honest. I know I'm a little picky.
She's cute, pretty, but she's very attractive. Yeah. It's too bad she's so god-awful horrid as a press secretary. I mean, she's the worst ever.
Right.
But she's an example of what I was saying.
Forget the politics.
The kind of exposure I think black women are getting now that I think is very good and healthy. As long as black women don't get this, I'm really a black queen kind of, I can't stand that. My mother was actually a regal woman. People described her as regal, and she never put on airs. She was regally beautiful. She was always charming and graceful and elegant and civil. And people would say she was like, her name was Elizabeth. And they would call her Queen Elizabeth. She was very dark skinned.
Right.
You know, and she was, you know, people thought she was just a thorough lady. But I can't stand it when black women get this, I'm a queen kind of, I'm at 98 degrees in opposite direction.
This country rebels
against the royal. We don't want that shit in the United States. I don't need a queen unless my person. That's the only one I need.
I you know what? I know what you're saying because I'm telling you, I don't know what's different. Pastor Don Jr., CEO, I don't know if he can hear me. And I know that he's in production and he sees beautiful black women all the time, black men all the time too.
Amen.
But I'm just saying.
A lot. Come on.
I'm just saying, is it, you know, I look at the TV and I'm saying, okay, the nails are done. You know, the hair's there. The attitude is there. They're swinging the neck around. The makeup looks perfect. There's something. Is it a new black woman that I'm looking at? Pastor Don Jr., CEO? What is going on? I mean, they look absolutely gorgeous on TV. They look beautiful and almost art, like in album covers and everything. Did they do a trans? What did they do? Or is it just me? You know, I'm just old. What is it?
But no, it's not you. I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, everything good is not gold. It looks so good until you bring it home. You can go get a package of meat from the store, and if you don't check that date, it might be expired. So it's totally different when you bring it home. I have a very strict law. I got 300 people. I have, let me see how you act. That's why I bring you this show first, because if I can bring you the Hammer Show, you got all these millions of listeners, and you can act right, how can I bring you to the world? Serious.
Wow. I guess they act like a queen, and you bring them home, and then they turn into Miss Thing. And
come on, man.
I don't know.
You bring them home, they turn into Maxine Waters. Jesus Christ.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
I call it the Cinderella Complex. They're good for 10 minutes, but then once that slipper turns into it, it's something different. You feel me? They know you got the slipper, but can you keep it? A championship don't matter if you're not the champion. If you get held as a champion, and then you're doing all the celebration, and then they come up and say, hold on, wait, we got to take it back. It don't fit.
They're not playing.
I'm not lying.
Well,
yeah, right.
You know, come on.
It's like your foolishness could play out there, but I'm not taking your foolishness, not in here. But before we said, we all love black women. We all love black women. But, you know, sometimes you can take your life in your hands if you don't know what you're doing.
I'm sorry. The world is ratchet. The world is ratchet. And I apologize. I'm not hating on any black women. If you ratchet, hey, say something. But
ratchet.
At the end of the day, the ratchetness is real, it's driving, it's just. Because that's all
Pastor,
I know. Now,
Pastor, don't be afraid to call a spade a spade.
Don't encourage him. Do not encourage Pastor Don Jr.
Now, I ain't hating today. I don't know. I'm about to kill the world. I'm just saying. Reality is 95% of the businessmen doing what they're supposed to do. They deal with ratchet women and have to deal with the influx of problems they bring into their convoluted safe society. On that note, I'm laying my point.
Yeah.
Right.
You
find the right one, man. You got all you need for a lifetime. I swear to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Find the right woman out there. Race, I mean, people act as though, you know, people are supposed to be, you're not going to be compatible with everyone, whether it's man or woman. You know, I don't know why couples insist on forcing a square peg into a round hole when it comes to the other person. It's going to work sometimes. Move on. Try to be civil about it, but just move on and continue to search.
Oh, wow.
I was lucky enough to find the perfect woman for me, and I don't regret it or look back on it for a moment. I found my perfect woman for me, and it took a little while to get there, but I found it, and it was great.
Amen.
And you know what? You're blessed to find it. I'm going to tell you something, because when you got 2 minutes left, if you have Prime, see Big George Foreman. It's a documentary about George
Foreman. I told you a million times, that's my favorite guy, my favorite champion, boxing champ of all time. He's a great man. I love George Foreman.
Yeah, you got to see the documentary.
Multi-billionaire off the grill. Come on.
It is.
Multi-billionaire off the grill.
And he started off life as kind of criminal thug. I'd be chasing up down the street trying to lock their ass.
Yeah.
But he reformed himself, and he transformed himself into a great man.
I was just
expounding on his multi-billions from the grill. He sold a lot of grills. As we talk about somebody's buying a grill. As we speaking, somebody's buying one of them grills.
Pastor Don Jr.,
George Foreman went through the absolute depths. He went from the heights from being a heavyweight champ to becoming a laughing stock and a sideshow. He was despairing.
Right.
He almost committed suicide, but he found God. Because he had a vision. He found God and decided to devote his life to Christian ministry. And he went back, quit boxing, went back to congregation in Texas. It was struggling. The reason he went back into boxing was to get money to support his congregation and his congregants. That's the reason he went back into boxing.
True.
He went back into boxing and became, at the age of 48, became the heavyweight champ of the world. That is one of the greatest stories in sports.
You got to see it. It's called Big George Foreman, but it also shows the women, the transformation of women that he went through and he ended up with is just absolutely beautiful. And by the way, George Foreman
was considered to be, you know, back then the era when he was about to face Muhammad Ali. He was this dark knight, like Sonny Liston. They had a Sonny Liston thing about him. He's brooding, big brute, ready to destroy everything in his past. And that wasn't him at all. He's a perturbable, sunny, smiling, happy-go-lucky kind of guy who likes everybody. That was his natural thing. But he was cloaking it with this false persona that wasn't him.
There's one funny scene, Sarge, I think you'll like. I think you'll like it too, Pastor Don Jr. as he'll. So this is his comment. I hope I don't spoil the movie. It's a great documentary, Big George Foreman. So he comes back, and now he's in a ring at 45 years old, and he's fighting for the championship. So he steps in the ring, and his trainer's there. And George Foreman whispers to him and goes, you know, I ain't much afraid of nothing, but I'm scared to death to take off this robe. Because he now shows him fat, he's out of shape, he's 45, you know. He says, when I first came in the ring, I was an Adonis, I was strong. Now I'm here. And then the trainer goes, George, there ain't no fashion show. Get that robe off you.
Yeah, you know what? He might have been, wait a minute now, he might have put on a lot of fat, but he did a lot of strength training. There was a lot of muscle and power under all that fat.
Oh, yeah.
He never lost that punch. He always
gotta
had that. He never lost that punch. He was still as strong as he ever was. He might not have quite the same endurance, but he had the power. He never lost that.
No, he didn't. He was something else. And Muhammad Ali and George Foreman to the end became the best friends in the world. You'll see that if you ever see the documentary. It's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
With Muhammad Ali, the rope-a-dope and all that kind of stuff. It goes on to all that. I want to thank Pastor Don Jr., CEO. The pleasure of coming into the studio, sir. Thank you so much. You get to hear your voice. Get to see you, especially on a Friday. God bless you, sir. Thank you for coming in.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you. And God bless your family and everything. It's good to hear them. Even though I never met them, it's still good to hear them. God bless the family. And I don't know, when you have it on, I hear people, I almost feel like I'm at your house, Pastor Don Jr. I feel like I want to just say, you know, what are we having for dinner? And I'm sitting there having a cigar with you. And,
I'm sorry, brother. You are in my office. This is my office. I am Pastor Don Jr., CEO, elite founder of the 365 Days of Radio campaign. I don't brought hundreds of people on your show because I understand radio. I understand you don't put it out there, won't nobody ever know. So
that's
I'm
right.
I'm here.
Thank you, sir.
Support, salute, and let's make it happen.
Thank you for calling me from the office. But again, I feel like I should have a cigar with you, and you and I have a little glass of Hennessy, and we talk about Sarge. Thank you.
Yes. Hey, Charles, my guy. Come on, let's get it.
Yeah, he is.
So
I know.
My ears,
I know.
One of you guys got my ears burning all the time.
Sarge, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure, and it's been a tussle, and thank you for coming on and saying your side of your, you know, of the story regarding Biden and of Trump and. You know, it's a difficult thing that we're doing here and where we're living. And we got to all understand, after it's said and done, I don't get racial on this, and Pastor Don Jr. knows this. After it's done, we're talking about old white men who don't really give a fuck about us at all. Let's just be honest. They don't give a fuck about us. But anyway, we'll no country for old white men, I guess. But it will change. And it's nice to have a opinion.
Well, you know what?
Nice to have. Yeah.
You know, a rising tide lifts all boats. It doesn't matter if they necessarily want to do anything for black people or against black people. What matters to me is do they do what's right for the country? And that tends to benefit black people, too, whether they're intended to or not. And that's all that concerns me. I don't need anybody to love me. I got my family for that. I got my family and my friends. All I need from a politician is integrity, a devotion to the Constitution, and to the well-being of the country and all of its citizens. If I get that, I ain't concerned about anything else.
You know, I'll tell, and thank you, sir, and that is great. You know, I'll tell people, and I'm still on Twitter teaching. I think we're just getting to iHeartRadio, this, all the other bullshit. I'm saying bullshit in reply. Hey, we're listening to you, motherfucker. Shut up. But, you know, when you see, and I'm talking about the general audience out there, when you see a black man, especially a black woman, when you see them, here's what you should see. You should see a culture that was taken away from their tribal land, put into another land that tortured, beat, spit on, they were treated like animals, they were not even human. And we're talking as early as 1950, 54, 55, we were treated as animals and pigs and hung. We were hunted. We were hunted down and we're still hunted. But when you look at that black man and you look at that black woman and you look at them black boys, you see a culture that was hunted, beaten, taken away, slaved, starved, sold. That is a true patriot, because that black man will fight for this country in the United States America military. For to look at a person that says, what kind of group of do that? We have destroyed everything that you believe in. We have taken away from your motherland. We have mixed you with other tribes that you never even spoke the same language. We have beaten, we have starved you, we have raped your women, we have done everything. We have hung you, and even black men who went into the military that came home and wore their outfits, if you wore your outfit in World War II, they will hang you. And they did get hung. And then we got a proud black man who was a former police officer who enforced the law here. So what I am saying to you, that I don't know any other culture that will look at the history of what this country stood for and still would die for this country and still would be a police officer for this country and would still be a pastor for this country to speak the language of love and unite. That's a patriot, man. So when you see an African-American person, you want to talk about a patriot? Don't talk to me that you fought in war. You talk to me that when you're a slave and they raped your mother and they raped your sister and they sold you and everything, and you still fight for this country? You're a fucking patriot, man, because you're looking at a patriot. That's what you're looking at.
Well,
sometimes
think about it, though, for a minute, Brian. Think about this, Brian. Look at Trump and war. You got a bunch of people, a group of people, nation, proudly identify themselves as what? Hispanic. Their entire way of living changed with the conquistador conquest. When the Spanish came over and conquered them, they completely changed their culture. Now almost every single Hispanic proudly adopts this Hispanic culture, which is a combination
right.
of Indian influences, Mesoamerican influences, the Incas,
right.
the Aztecs, the Peruvians, then it was Spanish, but they proudly proclaim their language is Spanish. They're united
yeah.
by a new culture that to some extent was imposed upon the original one by conquest. They have an identity
yeah.
of which they have now adopted and are proud of, even though it isn't the original one of their ancestors who were Aztecs, Incas, Mayans, and the like. Ecuadorians, Peruvians, all that other.
Mm.
It wasn't the original culture of their Indian ancestors. But remember, a lot of them are intermixed with Spanish blood. Those are their ancestors,
yes.
too. And they don't have this complex about adopting a culture that was imposed upon many of their other ancestors. Now, in the United
True.
States, we do. I am completely secure in the knowledge that I am a
right.
black American natural-born citizen imbued
mm-hmm.
with a black American culture that uniquely developed on the North American continent and is
right.
also intermixed with the aspects of the United States, the traditions that are common to all Americans, the language that is common to all Americans, the customs and appreciation that are common to all Americans, and my unique black American culture that is Northern American, black American culture from my father and a Southern black American culture from my mother. I've accepted completely secure in my identity. Nobody took away my identity because I was born with it and given to it by the culture in which I was raised and immersed. I am a natural-born citizen of the United States of America. Culturally, I am a black American man. I am completely secure in what I see myself as. I have no hesitation in saying that. Anybody who's got a problem with it, you go to your psychiatrist, sit down on the couch, deal with your neuroses, but do not attempt to impose them on me, because I will not accept them. I know what
Praise.
I am, and I'm secure in that knowledge. I'm a soldier.
Praise.
I'm a former soldier. I'm a police officer, mechanic, truck driver. Did some construction work. I was a political commentator in radio talk shows in Chicago. I did all those things. I'm secure in my identity.
Right.
I'm not pining for some lost mythical African past that I never knew. I want to know it. I have done everything I can to study and learn about it because I think learning anything you can about the human condition, wherever it is in the world, but Europe, Asia, Africa, whatever, you should strive to learn as much as you can. And certainly, since these people were my ancestors, some of my ancestors, I want to know as much about them as I can. But I'm not pining for it. I don't miss it. I like what I got here. I'm happy to be what I am, not pretend to be something that I'm not.
Oh, I understand. Oh, I understand. And that's a gift. And I say, praise the Lord, brother. That's a gift. If anybody asks me, Brian, they'll ask me, Brian, who are you? I said, I am success. Don't you recognize me?
Yeah. But you know what, Brian? This is a great country, man.
If you don't recognize success,
I am
get
heir,
out of here.
I am heir to all the traditions and legacy of this country, the good and the bad of it. It's a great country, and I love it. I mean, I am in awe of its history, how it came to be. Yes, I acknowledge the atrocities when they're corroborated and they're true.
But
I don't like people exaggerating bad beyond what it was. But I accept that was bad enough to say it was god-awful horrible. But the great things I want to extol, I want to elevate, I want to talk about the aspirational beliefs of this country. And what Martin Luther King regularly referred to in a speech in the March on Washington, the check that America owed to its black citizens, and he referred to the Constitution and the Declaration, because no other country in the history of mankind ever was developed on lines of aspirational ideals. No other country. And because it was imperfectly realized when it first started, does not change that one indisputable fact. And I acknowledge that, and I'm grateful to be here. Now, if anybody else ain't, that's their problem. Don't put it on me. Don't tell me I'm supposed to
think. I agree.
Because this is what I think, and I believe it to the absolute nth degree.
Sometimes I will reflect on it, and I will have a cigar. I'm not lying. I don't like to go hoity-toity with the wine. I can't go there. You know, you want to give me some cognac? I just can't. I can't go there. You want to give me some cognac? You want to give me some scotch? I'm there. You know, I'm there. My favorite thing is scotch and seven, cognac. That's fine. But no, I cannot go wine and I have a little thing around my neck and I'm going no, I can't do that. But I got here by the tears, paved the road, to cast a check for me to go forward for my ancestors, the blood and the tears, that's what they paid for. The bites of the dogs, the dog bites, the beating on the head, and for me to come up here and be an asshole and to do the little thing that I do, they allowed me to do that, and I got to repay them. I got to repay.
Wasn't it kind of a lovely moment when Muhammad Ali went back to County Clare, Ireland, and got in touch with his grandfather, Abe Grady, who emigrated to the United States and married a black woman, and that was his great-grandfather. He got in touch with his roots in Clare County. I thought that was a great moment, that he realized the circle he'd gone through from Cassius Clay to Cassius X to Muhammad Ali, and in fact, to acknowledge his Irish roots in Clare County, Ireland, and be accepted for Clare County, Ireland. And, you know, his father got that gift of gab from his Irish ancestor, Abe Grady.
Right. And we can't.
By the way,
who
married a black woman in the United States, and that was his his mother's. Well, actually, that was his mother's father.
Wow.
Abe Grady. That's why she was so light skinned. Remember, his mother's very light skinned.
It we do have a lot of cultures mixed inside of us, but unfortunately, it was done by rape.
Well, not in the case of Muhammad Ali. At least not in the case of Muhammad Ali.
No, but we got to a point where
what greater commitment can you make to a woman than to marry her?
I know. I mean, eventually we got to the Muhammad Ali where we could go out with a white woman that was past 2 o'clock in the morning and we're hiding somewhere.
That's
the old.
You know, I mean, it's true. That's true too. We know a lot about it. But you know, look. When you're a slave, remember the slavery is like doing Rome, and These accommodations between slaves and masters were rather common, because when you got an imbalanced power dynamic like that, one side holds all the cards. But once it gets started, the other person that ostensibly is on the bottom end of the thing can manage to wrangle concessions from the slave master. And believe me, a lot of them black women did. Not all of them, but many of them did. It wasn't the one side of the pair completely. Historical records is replete with examples of black women who were able to leverage their relationships with their white masters, if you want to put it that way, and gain benefits for themselves as well, and their children.
We've
got to give black women and black men more credit than just being poor, dumb brutes who are abused like some sort of dog by their slander, because that's a misleading. That happened, but that didn't happen. I mean, it's no more true than to say the slaves treated like they weren't gone with the wind. You get a spectrum of all of it happening there. It was slavery.
The very same people
who want to condemn American slavery will do the same trick with African slavery. Well, there was models of form of African slavery. African slaves, well, not they would accept them as part of the family. See, that was some average. You got 300 different tribes in Africa, but all these different languages. They didn't have the uniform treatment for slaves across every tribe in Africa. Some did treat the slaves like that. Others were absolutely brutal and would put them to the torch and sacrifice.
Well, some African tribes enslaved other tribes.
What are you talking about?
I mean, well, you do
but
have
that,
some African tribes.
They do the same trick, but people want to condemn the United States in its past. We'll do the same trick with African slavery. They'll try to rationalize away by saying it wasn't as bad as American slavery. But it depends on what tribe you're talking about and what particular instance.
I'm not going to endorse
the United States.
I mean, I'm not going to endorse slavery. We got a new form of slavery. If a man is a married man, he'll enslave somewhere. And every married man
there.
Knows what I'm saying. They're not going to laugh loud, but they'll I hear you, brother, but keep it low.
You got a point there. You got a point.
Every man is enslaved. They have some. Every man has some kind of shackles around their legs, whether it's grief or mourning or mental illness or whatever, or answering to another person. You know,
yeah, but tell me something, Brian. Why weren't these same people condemning slavery 150, 175 years ago? Not talking about the slavery going on right now at the southern border and child trafficking, sex slavery. They have nothing whatsoever to say about it. They only want to talk about slavery from 150, 175 years ago.
I know.
We got more. You realize there are more slaves today in the world than there were during the height of the Atlantic slave trade?
Yeah, that kind of bothers me, and also it bothers me that every time February comes around, we only salute one man for Black History Month, when we should be saluting Charles Drew. We should be saluting so many other Black Americans that have moved us forward, Black billionaires. But we only know one man. I mean, if a Black man landed on this planet, there's only one man that we know, the Messiah. And I'm not saying anything about Dr. Martin Luther King, but, you know, there are other people that we should be, you know, raising up.
They
should
have come up with a Civil Rights Day and honored all the Black Americans. All the people who contributed to what we've got today. Instead, they took a great man, but a flawed man. And one day, when everything that we know about him comes out, people are going to be kind of embarrassed about it.
Yeah. Well,
so I'm just saying it wasn't appropriate. It shouldn't have been done that way.
It shouldn't have been. And every year.
And he was a great man. Make no mistake about it. He was a great
man. Yeah. But
he is
a good
man.
I'm not going to say he's a great man. I'm not going to. Charles Drew is a great man.
I am. I think he was.
Charles, what do you mean? Martin Luther King? You thought he was a great man?
Yeah, he's a great man. He's a flawed man, too.
I don't know.
The flaws are going to be so bad that I think they'll be very so they can name a holiday for him.
Well, I'm saying I think Martin Luther King is a good man, but I don't think he's a great man. I think John Lewis marched with Martin Luther King and didn't get the accolades that Martin Luther King had. And there's a lot of people marched with Martin Luther King. There's Jewish leaders who marched with Martin Luther King. White people marched with Martin Luther King that we're not getting the full story. But a great man, if you read about Charles Drew, that's a great man. For him to be in 1904, 1905, what he accomplished,
accomplished in going to university and getting his degree as a scientist and the years where we were slaves. It's an unbelievable story. And who helped with plasma, who made plasma, who saved millions of people's lives, and we still need plasma to this day, thanks to Drew. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm a big
fan. You know, there's so
I'm
many great
man.
Black men. You could, you like to say, you could spend the show and shows talking
know,
about
right?
great black men. But look, this, I think there's only one American, because there's only 365 days in a year, Brian. There's only one American that raised his very own house. Only one, black or white.
Mm.
That's George Washington.
Which one?
Because he was the single most indispensable
True.
Man to the existence
True.
Of the United States. I didn't say the only
True.
Indispensable. Single most. And if you're going to name
yeah.
a holiday for one person, it should have been
yeah.
George Washington and George Washington.
But we do have, what
we
happened to George Washington? What happened
to
Lincoln's birthday?
To the revolution. He died.
Yeah, but
they
remember when we're going
in a president's day.
I know, that's what I get ready to say. Remember when we're going to school? There used to be Lincoln's birthday, George
yeah,
Washington's
birthday.
Yeah,
Lincoln's
birthday
and
now
Washington's
they just
birthday,
him.
And they combined him in a president's day. So Abraham Lincoln got to share a holiday with Bill Clinton, Jesus, Barack Obama. Please.
On that,
that
note,
yeah, go back. Get rid of President's Day. Go back, George Washington. He was the greatest single American that ever lived. I don't care who played, man. He wouldn't be in the United States without. And I'm glad he's
well,
in the United States.
To one great man, to the rest of you two great men, I want to wish you guys a great weekend. Please be safe out there, because God knows they're looking for an excuse to either cage us or kill us. Keep your mind. Talk to you guys later. See you Monday, everybody. Thank you
what
for coming in.
Is ain't exactly
Bye.
Clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. Watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying sign. Mostly saying hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
You better stop now,
what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Peace, everybody. Be well. I'll see you Monday. Bye. Bye, y'all. See you later, Sarge. Pastor Don Jr., CEO. Been a pleasure. See you later, my brother. See you later, Sarge, my brother. Monday, 7:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And it's true. They want to cage us or kill us. Use your mind. Be better than that. And we'll rule them. They will work for us if we use our heads. We develop a business, a corporate, educate your kids. Be the leader and not a worker or a follower. See you Monday.